Well, what we were going to do tonight, well, we're playing it by ear a little tonight, but what we wanted to do tonight is some more mediumship, and apparently myself and Mary haven't talked about this at the moment, but Rachel had a few words she wanted to say just earlier.
No, Michael did.
Michael did.
Yeah.
About?
Yeah, about earth changes.
Okay. We've been talking to some spirits about earth changes over the last few months, and every medium that we've been using to talk to about earth changes generally hasn't been that accurate, I feel. Mostly because they have their own emotions involved in the and their own fears involved, and also they're more their own fears of what people are going to think of them, you know, or what people are going to think of them saying these things and so forth. So, but recently Mary's been trying to deal with that emotion as well.
I think I have the most fears of any medium about it, because I, for various reasons. But I think Michael wants to talk to everyone about their emotions around earth changes and what's blocking them from acting and having clarity and things like that.
Yeah. So. Now, give a bit of background. Michael is one of my guys. You would know him as Michael the Archangel, but he doesn't know himself as that. He was one of the very first people to reach the sixth fear of natural love development in history. And the reason why he's so well known is because he was mentioned in the Bible, and because he's been well known in spirit for tens of thousands, or hundreds, he's been in the spirit world for over 100,000 years, and so he's well versed with earth change events on earth because he's seen six or seven of them happen over his lifetime.
So we can do that now.
We can do that now.
Do you want to ask Peter what he's doing?
We'll deal with that after this.
Good evening. Thank you for your welcoming presence. I can feel that many of you are very open to receiving messages in this way, and can I thank you, for this makes it very amenable for me to speak.
Sorry, I don't. Is the sound going on and off, or am I just imagining it? It is.
It's probably my nose.
No, it's not. You're just having trouble with it. Keep talking now.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt. That.
It's okay. I wish to speak with you all this evening about a topic that many of you at this current time still hold in reserve within your hearts. You do not wish to uncover the many feelings, emotions, fears, beliefs that you have surrounding this issue which many of you call the earth changes. I say this with a smile, for from where I sit, there are many more significant changes that would happen on this plane, many surrounding this brother of mine who I now sit next to. However, these changes of in physical in nature of the surroundings around you are issues which many of you wish to remain blind to. In reality, many of you already have a soul knowing or awakening surrounding these matters. And it is this desire to remain in denial of these issues that I wish to speak with you all about this evening. Please excuse me while we take a moment. It is with much joy that I come to sit among you this evening. And it is only this medium through which I speak who would limit the love and the joy which I wish to express to you all. It is truly a special moment that so many of you would be gathered in a desire for truth and to grow your souls. Many of us look upon these gatherings similarly, and we wish to encourage you to continue to develop your souls in love, to aspire towards God, for the more that you do these things, the more readily we will be able to communicate more directly with each of you. Each of you here in this room has much potential to communicate directly with those of us in the celestial realms. It is only, as I say, that you wish to remain in a state of fear and denial about much that is within your souls that limits this connection. There is a vast amount of knowledge and wonder which you can access and use to develop in your life and to develop the surroundings around you if you would only seek to uncover those things which at the moment remain obscured through your fears and denial. And it is this topic of denial that I wish to speak with you about this evening. In truth, most of you wish to remain in a state of denial about the fears and indeed the knowledge that you have of the coming changes of your physical environment. And it is this question of the conditions which create a state of denial that I wish to speak to you about. You see, for each of you, there is a set of conditions or emotions within your soul that cause you to continue to desire to live in denial, or as my brother so affectionately says, to place your head in the sand like an ostrich, I believe. For most of you, there are many issues of fear, and some of these fearful beliefs and conditions within your soul exist in a way that you would not relate to the earth changes, as you call them. What I mean to say is that there are many fears within you that you currently hold on to and defend or guard as truth, or hold within you as an anchor, if you will. It is as if your lives are anchored around certain issues of fear. And at present, many of you do not wish to see these anchors of fear. They guide and direct your life and your reality, but you do not see them as fears, as merely fears, which may be removed. Many of these anchors or beliefs shrouded in fear have little to do with the topic of earth changes. Many of them pertain to your feelings surrounding family, obligation, your fears about my brother beside me. And these issues also obscure then the soul knowledge that grows within each of you about the coming changes upon the planet. I wish to say to you that it is only when a person, when a soul is willing to face the fears within them, to look directly at them and acknowledge them as merely fears, that the great knowledge of the universe may enter them. And indeed, as many of you are aware, the highest knowledge that we may gain about the universe around us are the truths pertaining to God and God's laws. Many of you have knowledge of these laws of God as they have been delivered and taught to you. However, these truths rest merely in the mind at this time. While you hold your fears as anchors that guide and direct the course of your life, these truths may not enter your heart. And it is only when these truths enter your heart that a great opening towards much more knowledge of every possible kind is possible. Once an individual is willing... Once an individual is willing to face each fear and acknowledge it for what it is, a mere fear.
What if I just, I want to clarify perhaps a few things, because does everyone understand what, when Michael says about a lot of the things we're in denial about that affect our knowledge of earth changes are actually not about earth changes, but they're about things to do with family? Does everyone get how that actually affects things greatly? You see, a lot of the times we're in so much denial about how attached we are to family, but also how willing we are to conform to their idea of what is right and what is wrong, that we are then unwilling to take actions that we would normally take if we were by ourselves. So in other words, what we do is we firstly assess inside of us emotionally, we assess whether our family will agree with what we're doing before we go ahead and do it. And because many of us have yet to deal with the fears that we have about our family's disapproval and so forth, we then finish up taking actions which are in complete disharmony with our own ability and our own ability to survive even. Does that make sense? Because we're so afraid of what the family will project to us and what kind of guilt they might make us feel, or what kind of rage we might feel from them, or what kind of needy sadness that we might feel from them, that we are then afraid to take actions that are in our own benefit. And that can affect us greatly.
It is the issue of discernment of truth. Many of you believe that you are able to discern the truth, and yet do not take into account the level of these things that my brother now speaks of, the way that these things influence your discernment of truth and what is good and right in your life. At present, everyone of you still holds dearly to these precepts of truth, of what is loving and right within your family still guides so much of your decision making. It is the fear of challenging these beliefs that your families hold strongly to that greatly impacts upon your ability to discern what is real and what is truth. In reality, most of you are aware, in the sleep and and the possibility for knowledge in the awake state is upon you, surrounding the issues of earth changes. And by this I do not mean from what my brother says, or my sister, or any other medium may speak of. What I wish to refer to is the knowledge that exists within your own souls of what will occur. And it is only the desire to remain in a condition of denial, which is a condition driven by fear, that prevents you from making decisions and choices which will lead to your ultimate happiness and safety during the years to come.
Michael, when we had this discussion yesterday, we were talking primarily, weren't we, about three types of emotions. There was firstly the group of emotions surrounding sort of completely burying your head in the sand and not wanting to take any action at all. And then there was the emotions surrounding taking action, but they all being fear-based actions. And then there's the emotions surrounding taking action, but they are actually desire-based actions. And we talked about the first two being the problematic areas, where most
Indeed.
People are doing one or the other of those first two.
Indeed. Mm. This is what we observe at the current time, that in fact it is not just amongst these groups who wish to find the divine truth, but amongst all people on the planet who have some growing awareness that changes may be ahead, that decisions are made based purely on that people are taking decisions based on denial or through fear. There is very little connection to the soul's desire. And we see that you speak of this commonly and often. However, this lesson has not yet reached the hearts of most of you. That it is only through the connection with your soul, which can only occur through the confrontation of fear in any condition, not just surrounding the situation of earth changes, but in any situation within your life. The only way to connect with your soul's desires, as many of you are intellectually aware, is to confront your fears. At present, this topic of earth changes, which is very current amongst most of you, causes the first or the second reaction. Many of you wish to remain in denial, even though there is a tug upon your soul. You think, I'll just deal with other things, and that will become clear, which is an avoidance and a denial of many fears, in fact, that you have. The second group of you feels the fear and wish to act rapidly rather than recognise your fear as a state of untruth, to deal with that fear and then connect with the pure desire and soul knowledge that exists. And when I refer to soul knowledge, what I mean is that many of you have been guided and inspired for a long time surrounding these changes. And it is through this emotional recognition that you of what has already been given to you in the sleep and awake states that you will find this soul knowledge, and you will find that your pure desires will act in harmony with what this soul knowledge of these changes would have you do. Many of you have connected with some desires enough to have placed, and some of those desires are a desire for God and growth. And this has placed you in a situation now which is actually primed for your stepping into greater desire and the possibility for survival. However, I wish to state that if you remain in one of these first two states, denial or acting through fear, your possibilities of survival are not only reduced, but the probability of you living within your soul's desires and passions throughout and following these changes is also greatly reduced. there is much for all of you to look at. And I do not wish for this to be a lecture. As you know, I come with great love for you all and a great feeling of hope. It is no accident or mistake that all of you are gathered here this evening to hear these words. But I do wish to confront within you the denial of the fear that exists and drives your actions. So in this way, I do hope to confront you. There has been an ongoing sense of dismissal or panic within each of you. And while you remain in the first or second state, or at times you are in a combination of both, there is no possibility of connecting with the soul. And as you know, it is the soul that God connects to. It is the soul where your passions and desires and creativity lives. And it is your soul which is capable of gaining the knowledge of what will occur around you in the times ahead. Brother, you wish to ask more questions, and this will assist me to guide the medium better.
I was thinking that obviously the problem is with any discussion about earth changes is that most people are quite selfish with regard to what they want out of the discussion, in the sense that they want to know what they should personally do in terms of, you know, moving to a certain location, what's going to be safe, what isn't going to be safe, and all of those kind of things. And in that discussion, they're not very concerned about whether another person in another part of the world is very safe, and they're not asking questions about all over the world, but rather they're just focusing generally on their own particular area. And I just wondered if you'd like to share some information about how love is involved in a lot of the questions, or a lack of love is involved in a lot of the questions that are asked about earth changes, and how people's fear causes them to actually act out of harmony with love.
Certainly, and this is what I would wish to express surrounding the emotion of fear. Fear in itself is a very divisive emotion. It is a very selfish and self-centered emotion. And when one chooses to live in this emotion of fear, their world, not only does their world become smaller, because they become focused only on the protection of that fear, if I may call it that, or the guarding of this fear is the way. If I could show you a picture of how this looks, it is as if a person is huddling with their fear, defending that it is the truth to everyone around them. And their world becomes small, and often you see people who live in fear as gaunt and hunched. So this is what is happening within their soul and their spirit body. It is a shrinking. And this is why, as my brother so rightly points out, that in many discussions at which I have been present at, where people discuss the changes coming upon the earth, they are indeed very selfish, because their fear would make them selfish. Fear is also a very divisive emotion. It breeds a sense of lack within the individual, and a sense of, unless one is humble to the fear, a desire to take and protect things for themselves. This causes a state of division amongst people, amongst communities, amongst countries, as many of you observe daily in the world around you. If I could contrast this with a state of love. The emotion of love is an expanding emotion. It wishes to embrace rather than draw back and protect. And those of you, or each of you, if you choose to deal with these fears, as each and every one of you in this room has fears surrounding this issue of earth changes, just as you have fears about many other things. But if you should choose to experience these fears and release them surrounding the changes environmentally that may happen around you, and keep in mind, to deal with these fears, you would be dealing with a vast number of emotions that actually relate to your ideas about family, about acceptance, about trusting oneself rather than people around you. If you were to deal with these fears and come to this discussion surrounding earth changes from a space of love, may I say to you that there would be a sense of fascination within each of you. There would be a sense of wishing to explore and discover the possibilities inherent in such changes. There would be a huge desire to share this information, to ensure the truth that was conveyed within this information, and then to share it with your brothers and sisters, whomever they may be. If you came to this discussion with a sense of love, you would not look at this small patch which you live in, this small state which you live in, this small continent which you live upon. You would look at the entire world around you, and you would ask, what will be lost? What could be saved? How may I act, not only to save the lives of others? And when I say save the lives of others, of course, none of us is responsible for the rescue of those around us. However, their love would cause us to desire to impart information, to enable the free will and choice of everyone around us. But not only would we ask the question, how may I enable the choice and will of others in the most loving way, to the most loving degree, but I would also ask, what about the sand? What about the birds? What about the what about everything within God's creation which exists around me at this moment as a gift? How may I serve and protect these things if there is to be a global shift? Many of you have never considered such things in sincerity. The fear that surrounds you clouds these thoughts that when I express them, they open your heart. But at present, the fear that drives, or the denial, which is in fact a creation of your fear, the denial or the fear which you live in causes the closing and shrinking of your worlds. I want to inspire you to deal with these fears that are within you. If you are able to do that, the possibilities in the times ahead are endless. There is much to be gained in terms of knowledge of God's truth also through these changes. Many of you underestimate the power of the information which has been already presented to you surrounding God's truth and the laws which govern this universe. If you were to fully step into trust of these truths and these laws, your lives would already look completely different. And if you were to step into them with trust and faith during the changes, there would be a great expansion of love on this planet. Many of you do not understand the power of desire, the power of releasing your fears and the positive effect this has in terms of attraction, not only for your own soul and what it may gather, but upon the souls around you. Your single soul in a state of reduced fear or no fear not only positively affects what is brought into your life, and believe me, it is abundant and beautiful what would come into your life when your soul is in a state of no fear, but also this is a gift that you would give to every soul around you. For a soul without fear opens the souls that surround it, that come into contact with it. It inspires these souls to also challenge their fears. Now, in these coming times, there will be many souls drawn together. Many souls in different situations that until now they have avoided, because as you see in the world around you, it is easy to live an insular life. There are many of you who sit in front of a screen all day, or many of you have done this in your lives, and many people still do. They are insulated in a way that when the changes begin to occur upon the earth, they will no longer be able to be. When this occurs, many of their fears will be triggered. But what a magnificent gift to offer to this soul in a heightened state of fear and insecurity. Your own love, your own ability to embrace change without fear will enable so many other more positive changes upon this planet. It is a beautiful time that is coming, a great opportunity. And as I expressed to my brother and sister yesterday, I have seen many of these changes occur on the planet. But can I say to you that none is so precious as this time that awaits you? For this time, for these changes have never occurred with souls who are so close to God again upon the earth with you during these changes. The opportunity as it appears to us from this distance or closeness of the celestial realm, however you wish to place it, for in fact we feel quite close to you even though we are in the celestial realm. The quality of the opportunity that occurs as we see it is magnificent beyond words I could describe, the words I could use to describe to you here this evening. There is a great opportunity. There are ones among you who carry within them great knowledge of God's love and truth. And each of you have the opportunity to share this love and these truths with so many during these changing times. What we see is that the world has been held in a vice or a grip of fear and error. There is much darkness, as you are well aware, on this earth plane. But during these changes, it is as if this vice will be loosened and there will be much opportunity for a lightning to occur. It is only for each of you to embrace the soul, this beautiful creation that God has created you to be. But I stress that in order to embrace this soul, you must be willing to face these fears, these anchors, these erroneous anchors that hold you in a false reality, that hold you in beliefs that do not serve truth, they do not serve your desires. And in order to do this, you must be willing to lift the veil of your own denial. Many of you desire this state of denial, for it assists you to escape your own feelings of fear and insecurity, the feelings of being unsafe. If you are willing to open your eyes and your heart to the truth of the feelings which exist within you, there is great opportunity to serve not only this soul and the other half of your soul in these times ahead, but also to expand in love and serve others around you.
Michael, I was wondering, we'll let the audience ask a few questions if we can.
Yes.
So those in the audience who would like to ask a question, but I'd like to start with one question if I could.
Yes.
You mentioned that you've observed many earth changes in the past occur. How many have you observed occur at this point in time?
I have observed 5 major shifts upon the earth.
And do they happen on a regular basis?
Yes, they do. There have been 2 in addition to this, so you may say 7.
Yeah.
But 5 of them were quite cataclysmic in nature.
Mm-hmm.
2 less so.
Yeah. those that were cataclysmic in nature, obviously there was a different potential at that time for change. And so what generally happened in the previous times of earth changes?
Are you regarding to the physical changes that occurred?
Yes, with regard to physical changes.
There were shifts of the plate upon the earth, large volcanic eruptions, changes in climate.
And were those changes so great? How many people actually finished up surviving those changes in the past?
For the majority of changes, a very few, at the most 1/8 of the world's population survived.
Right. So the world's population built up and then one of these cataclysmic changes occurred and only 1/8 of the population survived after that change. And
yes.
That was primarily because of the condition of the soul at the time.
Indeed. The two other major changes that resulted in less loss of life and the physical changes upon the planet were lessened. This was as the result of the souls being in a heightened condition or a higher condition of natural love than those at other times.
So were they the first two of those changes, or did you see it during the degradation of the human race as well as the slow growth of the human race?
Yes.
So were the time of smaller changes, if we could call them smaller, they were still quite large.
They were.
Were they the first couple of changes, or were they?
One was the first.
Yep.
The other was, in fact, the sixth.
Right. Yep.
There has been one since then.
Yep.
Following the sixth, there was a large degradation.
Yeah.
In the soul condition.
And was that because of the spirits that came to earth and materialised in human form?
Yes, there was at this time of the sixth change, immediately preceding this, mankind had begun to access many spiritual laws.
Mm-hmm.
They had begun to deal with metaphysical laws and matter, the transformation of matter.
Yes.
There was a large cataclysm, less large than the others, but there was a cataclysm. But during this cataclysm, there were other spirits who came to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And this was enabled because of the openness of the people at this time to the metaphysical and spiritual
world. So they'd grown to such a point where they now were open, so spirits could actually live on earth if they wished to in a materialised form for extended periods of time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When you say extended periods, months at a time.
Yeah.
Yes. Because this was enabled, certain spirits came to the earth plane. There was rapid degradation of the soul condition of both the spirits and the humans involved in these relationships and interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And this became a gradual spiralling. Spirits could no longer live on the earth, but even after they left, the degradation continued. And indeed, the seventh cataclysm was almost complete.
So that's what the Bible refers to as the flood of Noah's day. And
yes, there are many accounts. None are particularly accurate.
Mm. So once that degradation occurred and that cataclysm occurred, which was the last cataclysm before this one, I gather.
Yes.
So that cataclysm occurred around how many years ago at this point?
16,000.
Yep. And do these cataclysms occur on a fairly regular basis?
Yes, this does vary according to God's will,
yep.
Of course.
Yep.
Yes.
So they're not regular in terms of every 16,000 years there's another cataclysm?
No.
But rather they're based upon the extension of God's love and how God's love extends and then
indeed.
What that confronts in the universe.
Yes.
Okay, so that gives us a bit of background. So that means that you've been in the spirit world close to or above 100,000 years or so?
Yes.
So you're pretty old compared to most people here.
I'm told I look quite young for my age.
And we
honestly, such things cease to be of importance.
Of course.
We do not count the days, merely the expressions of love, yeah. We may say it that way.
Yeah. So over that period of time, you would have noticed quite a lot of events occur, obviously, on Earth. And what was it like being one of the first persons to actually enter the sixth dimension of the spirit world for the very first time, like for you? Can you recall that time?
It does indeed seem such a long time ago. If time is not the right word, it seems such a long soul time ago. I do recall that at the time it felt a great honour, and indeed I was puffed up on the honour. Reaching the eighth sphere outshadowed those feelings quite rapidly.
So when did you reach the eighth sphere?
Not long after yourself.
Yeah. When did you reach the sixth sphere?
Not a considerably long time after I passed.
Right. Yeah.
So there was quite some time in the sixth sphere.
Yeah.
However, I have been told, and I do feel, that I do have quite an inquisitive nature. And the sixth sphere, as you can imagine, after such a long time, I had begun to feel, most certainly, that there was something lacking.
So you're getting bored.
Yes, I suppose this growing sense, and what I now understand as the hole inside of me where God's love was missing, had become quite palpable for me.
Yeah.
However, I lacked the humility that you yourself displayed. And as you are aware, there is much gratitude to this day to you for opening these realms for all of us.
Thanks.
Reaching the eighth dimension outshone in the most precious way what seemed such an arrogant and prideful transition to the sixth sphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is this glory of God that we now wish to speak of. The sixth sphere is full of self-importance. And to many of us now who spent such time there, it feels, I search for the correct word, a plastic place.
A bit like look on Earth.
It lacks it. Or perhaps I could say it this way. It was like white bread.
Compared to a good wholemeal.
Compared to the wholesome, nourishing goodness of a wholemeal loaf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The reason why I'm asking some of these questions is to give the audience a bit of a chance to get to know you as a person. I know sometimes, you know, we all have a desire to share what we know about God's truths and everything, but it's lovely for them to get to know you a bit as well so that they can have some appreciation for what you've actually experienced through your life, I feel. And so I'd like to give an opportunity to the audience to ask some of those kind of questions as well.
Yes, that is a pleasure. May I please correct the term Archangel. I can barely speak it. And if there is one desire within me, it would be to banish this title from my name upon all the earth. For as you know, we are all brothers and sisters.
Yeah. And I suppose Gabriel feels much the same.
Yes. G- Gabriel is far more playful and less outspoken about the matter, perhaps. However, he indeed feels uncomfortable, as do I.
I was just wondering, what was the reason why that term was put upon you, though? Can you see what happened to cause that term to be given to you?
In truth, I feel that it is resultant from much of my pride and arrogance, which I held on to in the sixth sphere condition. Mm. As you know, I resided there for such a long time. Mm. And I became quite knowledgeable, and through my inquisitive nature, I communicated much with those on earth. As a result, I came to be lauded or well respected by many in spirit and on earth. And this title fell upon me, and I did not dispute it, for I enjoyed the feeling. This is, in truth, the reason that it occurred.
Yeah. But you were also quite frequently used by God to give messages because of your desire to share with people on earth. You were quite frequently used by God to give messages to people on earth in the past.
Yes, and as you are aware, I was with you in the first century.
And even God's assignment of yourself as one of my guides in the first century was a part of, you know, the recognition of the fact that God could see your desire to help people on the earth, which is not always present, as everyone may not be aware here. It's not always present in a six-year spirit. In fact, often is not present.
No. And perhaps I speak, I speak about my pride and arrogance, for it is the truth, but there are certain qualities within my nature which draw me towards the desire to serve, a desire to grow in love, which is primarily the quality that caused me to enter the sixth sphere first. And there is an extreme fascination, and always has been, with this connection between the earth and spirit. I find this a beautiful gift that God has bestowed upon his creations, that we may always communicate, and that many of the mysteries of life may be explored through this communication, even after one of us has passed.
When you first saw myself making changes on earth in a different direction to what you expected,
I was fascinated.
So in what way would you be able to explain to people what caused you to be fascinated, rather than trying to see? A lot of sixth sphere spirits would normally try to shut the person down on earth from making those kind of changes. So what caused you to not try to attempt to shut myself down, but rather just notice the changes?
Well, as I stated previously, there was an emptiness that I was becoming more and more aware of. This feeling that something was missing. That perhaps, even in my arrogance, perhaps there was something that I did not know. And I observed through my many explorations, you see, many of us in the sixth sphere would find one particular area where we felt interest or fascination, and create almost empires within this sphere of interest. For myself, I have always been somewhat of a loner and an explorer. I would go between the different areas of interest, or the realms or empires that my brothers and sisters were creating, and I could feel that somehow things were becoming circular. And so I began to study the earth again more closely, and at the time of your incarnation and your growth as a small boy, I began to see some other beautiful quality within your spirit body that I had not observed in others. The desire for God was so palpable from within you, And it created, it is difficult to describe in words, but it created a different emanation from your spirit body. And upon exploration, I could find it in no other person upon the earth or in the spirit world. Or very few in the lower realms seem to exhibit, even though they were in a state of darkness, seem to exhibit something slightly similar, but from within you it was clear and bright and strong. And as I watched your spirit body change, I could see the mind. It is difficult to describe in your earthly words, but it was not that the mind became blank or obscured, but a new desire drew you, a new process drew you through life. And for myself, who was so intellectually astute and dominant, I was fascinated, even in an intellectual way, at the course that your life and your spirit body was taking. Mm. What occurred for me was many great challenges to that dominant mind and to a heart which I had largely closed down in terms of pains with my own father. As I began to spend more and more days at your side, which I naturally did through my fascination, I began to open to the concept of God. Mm. And in fact, it was not long after you entered the seventh sphere that I followed you into the seventh sphere from my realm in the spirit world. Mm. You see, I can see now, with the benefit of perspective, that my soul was ready to receive these truths. However, I lacked the humility that you had and demonstrated to me. I learned from you even as you were learning.
So when you entered the eighth dimension,
yes,
and we I gave that example with the transfiguration, which was basically demonstrating the people on earth and in the spirit world that God's love was available for them to receive to that point of awakening. And could you describe a little about what you observed in the spirit world as a result of the transfiguration event? Because there are people who are religious who would know about that event or have read about it in the Bible, but don't really understand what its purpose was and also what actually happened in the spirit world because of it.
It was as if a great window opened between the two realms, the earth plane and the spirit plane. And much communication was possible between the two, and much observation. There was a great opening of the hearts of men and women on earth, and a great opportunity for God's love to flow into them through the faith which they held in their souls. The communication occurred through a great number of spirits wishing to be involved in this event, and they were able to speak through people on the earth plane. But also through this process, many in spirit observed God's love entering those on earth through the openness that was created within their souls through the grandness of this event and the faith that they already held within them. As a result, a huge number of spirits, in the lower realms especially, were opened to the idea of God and were able to receive God's love for the first time. This was I spoke earlier of the magical possibilities available to many on earth at the time of earth changes. And can I say that the events of this time that I'm now describing, while they were magnificent and quite large in terms of the impact that they had upon people upon earth in terms of increasing their faith and them receiving divine love, and those in the lower realms of the spirit world who were also able to receive God's love for the first time. This was had a huge impact upon the earth and the spirit world, and yet this is small when we are able to compare it to the possibilities that may occur upon the earth at this time of earth changes while you and the others of the 14 are present.
Would you like to ask any? Like, I know Michael, so I can ask questions all night if you want, that I know you can answer, but it's best if some of you wish to ask some of those questions. We're going to come down to Laura first, and thanks.
When the initial desire to feel fear becomes...
Just hang on a sec. Is the microphone working?
Can you just tell us what Microsoft's for?
Yeah, if you just hand it to Fab, you'll be able to see what's going on with it. It's just... Is the other mic number 4 off? Or can we use the other mic? If we can just use it. Just make sure that one's on, Laura, if you just speak.
Hello. Oh.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks. At the initial time that the desire to feel our fear is present, there's a time lapse between when the initial... when the desire to feel our fear is compared to when the fear is felt and the causal is felt and it is released from our soul. And my question is, the time lapse, is it taken into consideration that the willingness or the desire is enough, or that the fear has got to be cleared in our souls before we can start thinking about, you know, less self-absorbed questions or earth changes on... for everyone, because I feel like I'm in that time lapse, like in that time.
May I say to you, sister, that the willingness to truly feel your fear is not yet upon you. For when it is, you will be experiencing your fear. You will feel it bodily from that moment onwards. Now, we recognise that for many of you there is a stepping up to fear, a recognition of fear, but then still a drawing back, a stepping up and a drawing back. And at times, the soul will do this. However, the drawing back is the resistance and the willingness to safeguard fear once again. Once one is ready to step up to the fear and step into the fear, this is when truly the fear begins to be released. When many of you step up to the fear and maybe quake in your boots just a little and step back again, you are indeed giving in to fear again. You are saying, you are in charge and not I. It is when you step up to your fear and take the next step towards and into your fear that you will feel a shift within your soul. And the shift will be that fear is no longer my owner. Fear no longer gets to control what happens in my life. And you will feel out of control. You will feel in a way that you have not yet felt before in your life. And once this process begins and commences, and you will feel it most certainly, when you step up to the fear and take the next step into it, then the potential for change increases exponentially. Then there is an immediate expanding. Even if all of the fear has not left you yet, there is an immediate expanding of the knowledge and the presence and the potential of love within your life. Because until that point, you say, fear governs me, fear rules me. As you step into the fear and say, fear no longer rules me, the new awareness that perhaps love has a greater possibility, could guide my life, becomes real for the first time. Until this point, it is not real within your soul.
It's just an intellectual awareness that many of you have at the moment. It's not a real feeling inside of you that fear no longer governs your life. What's happening for many of you, or most of you still, is you're dancing with fear. Do you understand what I'm meaning? Like you come towards fear and then it gets too intense for you. You're not yet even really in it yet, and it's already too intense for you, you feel. You feel that you're not going to cope with it, you're not going to survive it, and so instead of going through that barrier, and once you get out the other end of that barrier, now you're in the fear, and you now realise that fear is just another emotion that I can feel. But before that time, you don't believe that. Before that time, you believe fear is everything, and you've got to bow down to it and do what it demands. And that's why many of you come up to that point. You're just about, we see you quite frequently, just about ready to take the step into actually feeling the fear. But then what happens is it's so intense inside of you that you feel you're not going to handle this and you feel you're not going to cope with it, which is a feeling you need to have to actually get through it. But you feel all of that, and instead of feeling that feeling, you back off of the fear. And that then means you're living in the fear again. Fear is now dictating again what's going on in your life.
And so my sister, it is not when you have experienced and all the fear has left you that the expansion of the possibilities of love will be upon you. It is once you take the step into fear and decide that it will no longer govern you, then immediately love has the possibility to guide you.
Even though you still have fear inside of you.
Does this adequately answer your question?
Yes, thank you. I just have one more question. I was just wondering if you're with your soulmate.
Yes.
And what, was it shortly after the first century, after seeing Jesus and Mary Magdalene together, that it was even thought of, or soulmates was always known even before the first century?
No, because there was not the understanding of God's love and God's laws on the planet or in the spirit world adequately. The concept of soulmates existed but in an injured form until we were able to observe this couple on earth in the first century, and then following each of their passing and the relationship that developed further between them. So indeed, I was not with my soulmate until some time following the first century lives of these two before you. But observing their relationship opened my heart and my understanding, as it did for a great many in the spirit world. Even those who were not in the celestial realms were given the opportunity to understand the purity of God's truth around this issue by observing their relationship. It existed prior to their relationship, but in an injured form. Following their relationship, I was able to meet my beautiful soulmate, and we are together now, although not yet in the soul union state. It is something that both of us feel strongly about. We are quite desirous to attain this state.
Thank you.
Do you know how many spirits are currently in the soul union state?
Aside from the seven souls of those of you returned, there are a growing number, within the hundreds. Hmm. However, this is quite a special and unique state, as you are aware. And it is, in fact, that we are learning even now from your soul, through observations not only in the spirit world but through your experiences again on earth. There is much if I may say, intricacy, of which I am aware that you understand, however, we are still coming to understand. We recognise that this state requires much humility, and for some of us, this is shocking, as we have felt so humbled towards God and the truths that now govern our lives, which we embrace in our lives. And yet it seems there is a deeper and more beautiful quality of humility required for the union of the soul. And it is something that we learn more about daily.
And the fact that it's required by both halves of the soul as well, not
indeed,
just one half.
Indeed, yes. It is such a beautiful relationship, this soul-mate relationship, as we learn so much of ourselves through our shared experience. And I could speak on and on about the beauty of the sharing of this experience that we now encounter every day or every moment that we endeavour to share and experience together whatever our heart desires.
Who else had a question? Can we go across to you? Maybe Cecily first and then back.
It sounds like this earth change event that's coming is the most significant. Would that be right?
Well, I would not say the most significant in terms of physical changes upon the globe. However, I would say that there is much excitement here in terms of its significance for the souls of humankind. Because there is this unique opportunity upon you all to have your brother amongst you again, sharing these truths and bringing the presence of God amongst you again. There is great opportunity for the souls which inhabit the planet at this time, but also so many in the spirit world. For as you are aware, so many in the spirit world still cling and are drawn to the earth. And so these changes which will occur physically, but also within each of your souls as a result of this great master being amongst you again. This is truly significant. So in this way, we do feel some excitement and significance, yes.
Thank you. I was thinking in terms of God's love, the blossoming and the I don't know how to say it, but the greatest amount of God's love ever.
Yes, it is.
And the possibility of receiving of that expansion is what I mean.
It is, of course, an extension of God's love that these ones are here among you at this time. This is part of God's desire, that the opportunity for the receipt of God's love be maximised in a way that it has not had the opportunity to occur in the past. Keep in mind that this opportunity has only been created through the desires of the souls that are now among you, but also through God creating that potential within their souls. And these souls desire to come into harmony with God's love and desire so much that there would be an increased opportunity for those upon the earth. So indeed it is a time where there is an opportunity for an increased receipt of God's love, but this is through the teaching and example of the one who sits beside me.
So it's still a possibility, not yet an actual event. And the thing that will determine whether it's an actual event will be the response of every person associated with the knowledge. So it will largely, the effectiveness of it will largely depend upon many of you, in fact, as to whether you fully embrace the principles of divine love and divine truth, and then embrace those principles in your day-to-day life, work your way through your fears. And when that happens, that will have the additional large effect. So in the first century, the same potential existed, of course, but after my death, that potential was reduced greatly. And that is still a possibility now to have a similar type of thing occur, although I feel it's highly unlikely. It's still a possibility. So there are still many possibilities associated with divine truth on the earth that really require all of us to begin to act, not just to wait until a few act and then reach the condition of atonement and then go, oh yeah, now I know it's real, so I'll do it. It's far better if you can respond to the truth before that time and act in harmony with the truth before that time, because that brings a far greater potential to the earth than what would otherwise be.
And why would you not want to give this gift to your own soul? We see that nothing is set in stone for the time ahead, for it largely depends on the will of each person involved. God creates potentials and opportunities constantly, but the will is his gift to you, and it is up to you how you choose to exercise it.
And what Michael's been saying to you today is that many of you are still choosing to exercise it through your fear rather than actually choosing to work your way into your fear and then out the other end of it. And if you can at least work your way into your fear rather than avoiding your fear, stop dancing with the fear and actually go into it, you'll find the potential in your life will change very rapidly after that point.
This is when the expansion and not the shrinking will begin.
Thank you.
We go straight behind.
Michael, first I'd like to say thank you for coming tonight, and I think, you know, the knowledge that you're willing to share and in the spirit of love is very touching, and I appreciate, you know, your presence and AJ
it is
and Mary's
my
also.
Pleasure.
My question tonight is, I have a friend who has insulin-dependent diabetes, and in the event of earth changes, not just here or anywhere in the world, there's always a possibility after the event not having the availability of a doctor or a chemist to get, you know, that insulin that they take twice a day to keep them alive. So my question is, if the earth changes were to happen, how can we best assist those people who have such rapidly life-threatening injuries, or errors, I guess you might call them, how are we able to assist them in that way? And also, during that time, will God assist us with a lot of healing energy that, you know, may come at that time to help us and those people?
If I may answer the second part of your question first, for it will lead to the first part of your question. With regards to the healing energy that God would gift upon anyone, the only way that this may occur is when the soul's desire is in harmony with God's, when the soul's condition is somewhat in harmony with, or is in harmony with God's desire for this situation. And also that the person who would receive the energy is in harmony with God's desire at that time. Now, when we live in a state of fear, and when we come from a position of lack, we are certainly not in a state of faith in God's ability to heal. At this time, it is essential that, as my brother has just iterated, that each of you must be willing to deal with the fears that govern your life. And God cannot gift you healing energy. Indeed, he does not gift it, rather it would flow through you while you are in a state of fear. So no special condition or bending of God's laws would occur during earth changes. The same laws that govern our lives now will govern our lives into eternity. And this is a beautiful thing. It is true we may learn higher laws, but those laws that are governed by love, which God has so tenderly created that we may come to him, will never alter or shift. So during these times of earth changes, it is only when each soul, or when the particular soul, is in harmony with God's desire that we would be able to use healing energy, that any of you would be able to use God's healing energy. Which brings me to the first part of your question, which is surrounding assisting those with medicines during these times. The true way to assist anyone is to assist them to recognize themselves as a soul and one of God's children. To assist them to understand the laws, these same laws that I refer to, that govern each of our lives. For it is these laws that create the illness, or the disharmony with these laws, that create the illness which comes to any of us. So my suggestion to you is that your question is quite fear-based, and that the most effective way to assist your friend at this time, or during earth changes, or at any time, would be to assist her to understand herself as a soul and to understand the laws which govern her life and the errors which are creating her injury.
And may I point out too that you actually asking the question in the manner that you did indicates that you yourself do not yet understand the soul. And because if you did, you would already have known the answer to the question, if that makes sense. The reality is a lot of people feel that I went around healing people in the first century almost like ad hoc or willy-nilly, I suppose is the word we use sometimes. And that's not the case at all. What happened was that the healing energy that God, with my connection with God, I was then connected with God's desires, and God's feelings could flow through me to another person. But I could only flow into the other person if the person exercised their will for such a thing to occur. And if the person did not exercise their will, in other words, have faith in the process or exercise their will for that thing to occur, then it couldn't occur under all circumstances. And this is why some people got healed and others did not. And it's not because God's selective, it's because the person, the individual is selective. The person, the individual does not want to come to terms with their soul or come to terms with the causes of illness within their soul. My suggestion to all people with an illness of any nature, but particularly towards those people who have illnesses that are chronic in their nature, is to look at the fact that if we have an illness that has become chronic in its nature, it already is telling me how much denial I am in. And what we need to do is to focus on how much denial we are in, rather than trying to get some kind of external cure from God. What we're really doing is expecting God to skip over our denial and to skip over our will and to impose his will upon us, and he's not going to do that at any time, whether earth changes are happening or not. Yeah. And in fact, a doctor's desire to administer such products to a patient is actually also skipping over God's will at that particular time, because if you think about it, God created the laws that create illnesses. And why would God do such a thing? Because God only does loving things. The only answer can be that the illness is telling us how out of harmony with something we are, and the illness is demonstrating to us that we have the ability within ourselves to actually change it if we take a different path. And it's only our unwillingness to take a different path that would cause the illness to become worse or become so chronic that it causes our own departure.
Thank you.
All right. Perhaps Michael would like to choose the next person. Just point in the direction.
Okay, at the back.
So
yeah, I can't. I'm not.
Are we talking? Oh, is it a woman or a man?
A man.
So that would be Alexis that you're probably pointing to. Yes.
Hi, Michael. I feel. Myself and quite a few of us are in a situation where we don't have a lot of resources to prepare for earth changes on the physical level.
financially.
May I stop you there and say that you have the most beautiful resource at your disposal, the grandest of God's creation, your own soul. And as yet, none of you recognize the immense creative potential within each of your souls. You indeed have been gifted the most abundant creating, the most abundant facility to create your own abundance, can we say. Your soul has such an inherent potential to create and multiply that it does seem somewhat humorous that you feel in a position of lack. But continue. Please continue.
He's not laughing at you.
No, I understand.
But he is saying to you that you are not understanding the power of your own soul when you say you do not have the physical resources. You see, if you deal with different emotions in your soul that prevent you from having the physical resources, you'll have so many physical resources that you won't know what to do with them.
Yeah, I do understand that theory, but I think the reality is...
You're not going to do that.
Well,
why wouldn't you want to do that?
Just,
Alexis, my brother, if you may understand my mirth, it is because I see you as a unique and powerful individual who has much potential to create beyond your wildest dreams. It is merely to unlock this potential, and that is related to your fears, but also within yourself there is a feeling of demand or desire that others would care for you. This relates to a deep feeling that of feeling unloved and uncared for in your early childhood.
And may I address everyone now on this subject while I've got the opportunity? One big problem that many of you in this location have is that you have a very high demand upon other people to provide for you, rather than seeing that your soul has the ability to create and provide for itself if you dealt with and were more sincere about dealing with some of your causal emotions that prevent your soul from providing for itself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many of you are attracted to this region not because of any other reason but wanting somebody else to look after you. And that is not a pure desire in your soul towards love or truth. You sometimes project at the Lytton Hitchens family even about abundance, and you expect them to create abundance for you in your life. And that is a demonstration of how much you're expecting somebody else to do it for you, rather than you having to deal with the emotions that cause you to not have abundance in your own life. Does that make sense to everyone? So it's a very good question, Alex. It's a very good question.
Indeed, it is a very good question. And I am aware that you wish to ask something more, Alexis, but if I may just elaborate slightly further on what I was saying. As my mirth arose at the commencement of your question, there was a resistance and a hardness that came up within you. If you can recognise this resistance of a feeling of, in fact, it was me confronting this injury within you, this resistance covers the fear you have of the very large grief about the feelings of being unloved and uncared for emotionally in your childhood.
Mm.
Please proceed.
Now you're afraid to proceed.
No, I'm just trying to... That does sound right.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm a little bit...
Can I extend it a little further for you then?
Yeah, go for it.
What Michael is saying to you is that there is a need for you to see that if you actually dealt with this terrible unloved feeling that you have inside of your soul, that actually you would release the grief associated with that feeling and your soul would automatically create more abundance as a result of that feeling leaving you.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Well, my question was kind of be, you know, I just thought, well, because I can't somehow really create this abundance in my situation here, that's my belief system.
Your belief, but
yes.
It's untrue.
Yeah.
The truth is that if you dealt with this big emotion that's in your soul that's creating your lack of abundance,
yeah.
Your soul would actually create as much abundance as anybody else's. And in fact,
right.
If you had dealt with it completely, more abundance than most people on the planet would come to you.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I guess because of that belief system, I was feeling like, okay, well, let's just pursue your passions rather than trying to create some sort of material abundance. But skip over it?
Well, that's an avoidance of your grief.
I see.
What you're trying to do is skip over your grief.
Yeah.
And by embracing a passion, it's good to embrace your desires. But don't embrace your desires and avoid the grief at the same time.
Right.
You need to embrace your desires and then feel your frustration that you can't do it how you really want to do it.
Yeah.
If you recall in the beginning of this discussion, I spoke to you all about that many of you have a desire to skip over or push to one side the issue of earth changes. And I spoke about the fact that many of the emotions that are triggered, as you often say, triggered for you around the topic of earth changes, do not actually pertain to the physical changes that will occur upon the earth. Many of them relate to your family. This is one such emotion. At the moment, many of you exist with the exact same belief as your brother Alexis. You feel that you are not capable to care for yourself, and you hold on to this like an anchor that guides your life. In fact, this is a fear-based position, and many of you wish to defend it angrily, and it covers a great deal of grief. While you push aside this issue of earth changes and try to follow the path, or as we call it, the way to God, in other directions, in other aspects of truth, you push aside large areas of your own soul which require healing. This is why I stress to you that many of you remain in a condition of denial about the subject of earth changes. This is not about the earthquake that may occur or the volcano that may erupt. I mean that you ignore the many emotions that prevent you from being in a sincere and connected relationship with your Creator, with your Father, with God. These emotions of anger that you cannot look after yourself, that you should not be expected to challenge your fears, all of these issues are triggered when you consider the topic of earth changes. These are real issues that exist within your soul. And unless you are willing to challenge them here or in the spirit world, now or in 50 years or in 5,000 years, you will never understand the true potential of the creation that God has made you, this beautiful, creative, abundant soul. And you will never enter into this rewarding and sustaining relationship with your Father.
Maybe, Alexis, if we can give you a little bit of an idea of what it would be like if Michael materialized a body on earth right now and then he decided that body needed something to eat. What would you be able to do, Michael, given the creative power that you now have? What would you do?
There are many things. It depends upon my mood.
So describe some of the things that depend upon you.
Well, as you know, I am fascinated with the creation of the earth that God has made, the potentials here.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible that I could manifest an apple.
Yes.
And eat that. But yes. That seems boring.
That's too boring. That's only
what I would love to do, yes, is to walk out into a field upon this property, one that has been damaged and taken from, that has been depleted of all the natural vitality that God imbued in it at the time of its creation. I would love to lie down on that field and generate healing through God's love upon that field. And then I would find the seeds to my favourite fruit trees. And I would plant dozens in varying formations and patterns. And then using God's love and my own energy, I would speed up the growth of those trees. I would generate some rain and mist.
So when we say speed up, can we give them an idea of how fast that can happen?
Depending again upon my mood. Within a day, I could eat the fruit from these trees.
So given that creative potential of your soul, does any of you actually have lack?
Keep in mind that this is a soul in harmony with God.
Exactly.
It is only through the creative power of God and my attunement with that, that such things would be possible. And this is why I say to you that this is a precious moment, a precious time upon the planet, because never before has the opportunity for God's truth, that these truths of the way that God loves and the way that the universe is governed through this love, been available to so many people at once. If you are willing to embrace these truths in your life, to step into them in faith, the potentials are limitless.
Now, many of you have this feeling that, oh, well, that's all well and good, but we're not going to do that tomorrow, right? And so then you want some
And therein lies the limit.
Then you want some alternative presentation. And the reality is we do not wish to give you an alternative, because the reality is that God actually does not present an alternative either. The alternative, if you decide to do it without God, is what you currently have. That's the alternative.
And many of you have the "it's all well and good when you're at one with God" attitude. But you underestimate the power of God's laws, the power of desire when in harmony with love. Now, many of you make excuses about this issue constantly, but the truth is that you have truths available to you at this very moment that would align your desires to be in harmony with the laws of God and love immediately. Now, for some of you, this would mean taking the step up to fear and the next step into it, but this is achievable in a moment also.
So many times you're thinking, oh, but it's not achievable in the next 3 months or 6 months or 9 months or 12 months, when in actual reality, the thing that you need to do that is achievable is achievable actually instantly, and if you took that instant step, your life would change markedly. But you're not choosing to take that step.
Within minutes, hours, and days.
Days. Yeah. Minimum. Like maximum is days. Hours, minutes more likely, if you fully embrace that situation.
And this is where, again, I speak to you of the fears that you hold like anchors or tethers in your lives. You refuse to accept these truths that are presented to you. The fact that your life has the potential to change rapidly once you make a shift within your soul, once you take a step up to and into the fear. Once you allow your perception, your awareness of truth to expand into one of love and not of fear. You refuse to believe that the potential of God, in fact, you limit God in these beliefs. You say, yes, this is all the truth, but it wouldn't work for me so quickly. And truly, if you look around you at the creation that exists, and even the experiences of God, which many of you have had already now, these brief experiences where you experience an opening and a love such as you have never experienced before, would you then put a limit on that creator and say, he couldn't act that quickly in my life?
And many of us are doing exactly that. We're placing those limits on God because we don't want to exercise our will in harmony with God's will. And instead what we want to do is angrily justify the fear-based position.
You force the tether into the ground and stand guard. You defend it at all costs.
Even to the cost of our own lives in many cases. So we're sitting there, you know, dying of a disease, still defending our position. That's what we are, that's what we do as a human race. Yeah. Still defending that position. Yeah. Who would you like now, Michael? Just here with the hand.
Is there someone just here?
Fab up the back there, there is just. Yeah. If we go up the back where Fabian is.
Hello, brother. I'm feeling grateful and very unworthy at the same time right now, so I'm just going to speak anyway. I don't know if you can explain this in words, but earlier you were saying that our fear sort of binds us and we cocoon it, and you said that love is an expanding emotion.
Yes.
Now, once you embrace your desire and act in harmony with love and choose to step into your fear, what kind of potential does that love have if you are living in a little, you know, suburb away from everyone in the world? How can that actually spread out to the world? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And the answer to the question is in a million ways, in fact. Because God's laws are all created through love, and indeed the universe is governed by love, once your soul or one half of your soul is willing to expand in, I will use the word consciousness, but once they are willing to have the soul awareness, which is what is created when you no longer view fear as the reality and open to the possibility of love. Once the soul is willing to open to that possibility, then, and that reality, then it is immediately much more in harmony with all of God's laws. And this includes, of course, as you know, the law of attraction, the law of desire, the law of will and cause and effect. So this soul now operates in harmony with so many of these laws. This causes changes in the way that you shop in your local supermarket, the way that you drive your car, the way that you talk to the child playing on the street, the way you even interface with the screen in front of you. And this causes a chain reaction of thousands of events, which has an impact on thousands and indeed millions of souls around it. It is indeed difficult to explain the vastness of such an impact, and it is something that is not understood on the earth at this time, or if so, by a very few. But the power of a soul recognising love as the defining force and the thing to be valued above all things immediately alters the trajectory of that, the life of that soul while on earth and in the spirit world. But this also impacts on thousands and millions who interact with that soul. And the soul, even in its state of lack of fear, even without moving outside of its apartment, has an impact. So can you see that there are many levels and ways that this would change the environment of that soul?
And you can do that straight away, basically.
Immediately.
Yeah. If I could give some illustrations, Fab, it's like the instant that you no longer have fear being your dominant emotion, every single person in your life will feel, oh, Fabio's changed. They don't understand how Fab's changed, but they can feel the change in you because now there's another person in their life, or probably the first person in their life, who's not dominated by fear anymore. Now, that has an immediate impact on every single one of the persons who know you. every single person who interacts with you feels your lack of fear now. They can feel that you're not the same as them. Now, some of them will be triggered into anger. Some of them will be upset with you. They don't even know why. They're just upset. There's something that's changing to happen. I don't like it. There are others who will love it and they'll be just drawn to you. They'll be, what's going on with you? And you'll be saying, oh, I don't really know. You know, you're not really getting what they're feeling sometimes. But eventually you'll realise, oh, it's because I made that shift into no longer being afraid. All of these people now are feeling that shift and they're all interacting with me differently now. And if I can give you it's a very basic illustration, but you know there's this one door at the back of our hall here, right? Now, there's also wooden floorboards, right? Now, if I come in today, while none of you are here, and I just lifted one of those floorboards enough for some of you to trip over it, can you see that my one action automatically would affect potentially 50 or 60 people? Every single person coming through that one door has now the potential of tripping over that board. Now, some of them have the potential of tripping over it so much, they might fall flat on their nose and break their nose, or break their arm, or break their leg. That's how much just that one tiny action has caused, and that's a physical action. Imagine now that your soul being this far more powerful creator, and your soul shifting in one action. How much that is affecting every other soul around you. And you will notice the changes in other people around you because of the shift you have made. People will treat you differently. Some will treat you worse because they're challenged by the shift you have made. Others will treat you much better because they enjoy the shift you have made. And others will want to emulate you because of the shift that you've made. And they can see the joy that it's brought you and so forth. And you don't even have to leave your room to make the shift. And therefore, you don't have to even leave the room to have an effect on other people around you. Although, there's a higher likelihood you'll leave your room because you have less fear.
And if I may further the point, there is a soul interaction, as many of you are now aware, there is a soul interaction that occurs between your soul and all of the souls around you immediately without you even having to speak a word. When your soul has no fear within it, there is for everyone, no one has experienced this on earth before, except in the time of the first century, where a person stands before them with no fear within them. Stands before another and they have no fear within them. There is a new possibility created for that soul that they stand opposite. It is something that they have never, at a soul level, experienced before. They have never considered in their soul before, in a real sense, this idea that there is no fear in this interaction coming from this other person. When this occurs, it is a new possibility. It is a new... I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional, Mary, now. Hang on. This is the example which was created in the first century. And it opened a doorway truly for humankind. It created realms in the spirit world. It created a connection and closeness with God that none of us had experienced before. The power of a soul in a condition of no fear opens doorways in the souls around them. This is the best way I can describe this at this moment,
given
the limitations
given
of
Mary's being. Emotions that are getting involved in the process. Yeah.
This is it's very beautiful.
Many of you have had the experience with me where you've come up to me and all of a sudden you're disclosing things to me that you've never disclosed to anybody else your entire life. Hasn't that been the case for many of you? And then you walk away and I can feel you walk away and I can see what goes on in your head. What in the hell did I say that for? Is sometimes the... Why did I talk about that with him for? I don't even know him yet. And the reason why you did was because inside of me, you did not feel any judgment. You did not feel that I would condemn you for what you were going to disclose. You did not feel, you felt that I would be able to love you through that process of disclosing those things that you've never disclosed before to another. That is part of the potential of a soul who becomes more loving with the people around it, is that you will automatically be involved in truthful interactions with other people around you without the other person even knowing why they have done it, knowing why they have actually been involved in a more truthful reaction with you. And they don't even understand what went on many times, but you will understand, because you can see that because of your openness and your lack of judgment and your desire to love and your desire for truth, people just become attracted to that, even though a lot of times it's a truth they don't want to hear, or love they don't want to feel, or a lack of judgment that they'd prefer to have judgment than a lack of it. They still feel attracted to it because it's part of the natural soul condition to be attracted to those things.
It is a situation that is little understood on the planet at this time, but which those of us in the celestial realms understand clearly the beauty of such conditions being created once again on Earth. Mm. And that many of you have the potential to create these conditions, not just one, as occurred in the first century. It is, in truth, just as Jesus created new dimensions in the spirit world through his progression towards God, it is as if you create the potential for these dimensions to exist in the earth sphere at this time. It is as if you bring the potential for God's kingdom to be lived on earth. Sorry, that's as much as I can say.
Does everyone understand? Who else would like to ask a question? Would Michael like to point in the direction? Mary up to it. Yeah. Mary can close her eyes and Michael can point in the direction.
Still in this direction.
Yeah.
First, I just want to say I really love having you here. You feel your love. Great deal of love for you. I just feel like a huge opening just happened for me, in terms of I feel that I've been living in this belief of time and a divine timing, and we go through a process and there is a dance that is normal and part of the process, and that you go through layers and you reflect, and this is just this time thing. Now, I had a dream recently that someone planted a carrot and it grew straight away, and I didn't want to eat it because I thought, this carrot's wrong. It's defying the natural laws of how God created things.
Yeah.
And now I'm feeling like I've just, like, I don't know what the appropriate word is, but like I've been jibbed. Because I feel now that time has been put upon me, because I've always felt like in the future I have got the potential, but I'm just not there yet. And time has kept me from being where I could be in an instant.
And sister, this is an important belief that you raise, for many amongst us here have that belief that there is a timing, that the soul will take its time, and then in fact we are not in charge, that we are not in charge of the direction of this soul. It is true that through this process many of you are peeling back layers of error that have been placed in your life. This is truth. And by no means do I wish to imply that that you must each now place pressure upon yourselves, that you must be at one with God immediately. But I believe that the emotion, the false belief that has been within you is that it's out of my hands and God will take care of when this thing should happen for me. And in fact, this is an error that many of us carry, many of you carry, which helps you avoid the feeling of responsibility for what exists within you right now.
Can I just interject for a second? Many of you do not realise that if God had her way, you would already be at one with God years ago.
This is her deepest desire.
So it's not up to God's will.
Yes, yes. But as you can feel, sister, immediately your fear is heightened as you realise this is a false belief, and perhaps it is more up to my will than I had anticipated.
Yeah, I feel like time is just an avoidance of my fear is the only thing that's creating the time.
Yes.
Exactly.
Not
yes.
that I have a timing, like a fruit that's not ripe yet and I've got to wait. Mm.
Exactly. You are the person in charge of the ripening. When you step into this process with God, God shines her delectable sunshine upon your soul and you ripen quite rapidly.
Thank you.
And it's illustrated by Michael's, as Michael just pointed out earlier, about what Michael would do with a field, planting seeds of favourite fruit, and then they would grow within a day and be able to pick the fruit and eat that as well. That's how rapidly, physically, it can occur. So why can't things happen rapidly at the soul level?
Has it ever been like that on the planet, where things just grew that quickly at once?
There has been times upon the planet when people have harnessed spiritual spirits to assist them in the growth of their food, but it has never been done in harmony with God, using God's power and love. And in fact, this is when it is most sustainable, productive, and the most rapid. It is just another potential that exists for all of you.
So many of you are worried about what you're going to create when you've got nothing. But the reality is that once you come to a full expression of your own soul and you work through these fears that you have about dealing with the grief that is present that causes you to be unable to create, you actually come to realise that you can create within a day all the things you need. If you really had your soul in its full power, you can create within a day anything that you need. And so you wouldn't be so worried about that, you'd be more worried about your soul. And this is where a lot of people with earth changes are forgetting. They're more worried about fixing everything, getting everything ready for earth changes, and they're totally okay about totally avoiding their soul progression. And yet it's their soul that's going to determine everything that happens during earth changes, including whether all of those things I've just created physically all get bashed down from some kind of event. Do you know what I mean? Or get all stolen from them by some other person who comes along and says, oh, you've got a nice house, I think I'll use it. Here's a gun that I've got, so you better move out, you know. And you'll be whatever, and you have to come to terms with the fact that no matter whether you tried to create it physically or not, that it's your soul that's still creating events.
It is your soul that governs every aspect of your life. And many of you neglect this truth. It is a fundamental truth. And when you neglect it, you disempower yourself within your own life. If we take two more questions.
Mm-hmm. So it's Teresa.
Thank you, Michael. I've been sitting here trying to formulate my question and I just can't. I think it's about, I don't know which place to start from, because I feel like I have so many things on my shopping list in a way. Do I start with this anger or that fear, and I get so confused that I just freeze, and that frustrates me more.
And sister, may I say that there is a desire for you to maintain control while you step into this process with God. It is this desire for control and understanding, this mind dominance that is a strong part of the way that you live your life at present, that creates the shopping list. When we truly step onto this path, this way towards God, we do not analyse the shopping list. We do not try to tick a box. We simply open our heart. We desire to connect to our soul and experience whatever is there. We do not try to control or measure or make sure we're a good girl who gets close to God as quickly as possible. We simply step into longing towards God and longing to know ourselves. And by know ourselves, I mean this deep desire to feel what is within you at this time. These are the two places that I would suggest that you start.
Can I add, Teresa, to it as well? For many of us, what we're doing is we have a long list of all the different emotions that we've now been exposed to, that we can see that are within us, that we need to address. But what we do is we get very, very close to our fear of each one of those emotions, and then we go to try to select the next one. You see, so we're not, instead of staying present in the emotion we're currently in, we get right to the point of the edge of getting to deal with the fear associated with that first emotion. And then we decide we want to go on to the second one, or the third one, or the fourth. And all we're doing is we're choosing a substitute so we don't have to go through our fear.
So how do I push into that?
So you don't have to push into your fear. All you need to do is be willing, have a willingness to see your fear as not the truth. The problem for many of us is we still see our fear as truth. So when you get close to the emotion and you feel like you're going to go out of control, you start believing you're going to be out of control. You start seeing your fear of being out of control as the truth instead of just seeing it as an emotion. And as a result of that, you don't let yourself go out of control on that particular issue, and then you select the next one because that one's too hard. And all you finish up doing is dancing from one fear to the next fear to the next fear to the next fear to the next fear. And when you're finished and exhausted all of this, you go back to the first one and through them all again. And you never get any further because on any one issue, you're not willing to actually embrace your fear on that one issue and go further into it and actually feel it instead.
So be willing to feel that out of controlness.
Yes, you, all the time you are choosing to do this, you are wanting control. You're saying to God, I don't want to have to deal with this fear. I don't want to have to go through this fear. I want to know what's going to happen after it before I do it.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying. And for the majority of us, we think we know what's going to happen, and that is we think it's going to be shocking and terrible, right? And we believe that with all our hearts. When the reality is, it's going to be beautiful when you get through that fear. It's no longer going to be in you. And as a result of it no longer being in you, you're going to be able to be free. It's going to feel like a weight's lifted off you. That's what it's going to be. But you don't consider that. You just go, no, my family will hate me after that and my friends will feel this way about me after that. It's just going to be shocking. My life is terrible. I'm not going to go in that direction. What's my next one?
Okay.
Oh, my next problem is, I haven't got my soulmate in my life, or I haven't got, whatever the next problem is. Let's look at that one. So I start looking at that one and then I get to my fear in that one and I go, oh, that's too hard. Let's go on to the next one. And the next one is, I've got a tendency to steal or to lie a bit, so I start looking at that. And then I get into, all right, I'm not going to lie at all anymore. I'm going to tell the truth to everybody. And then when an opportunity comes up to tell the truth to your mother, you lie again. So you forget about that one. And then you go on to the next one, right? And this is what we continually do. We're not embracing the opportunities to actually embrace our fear and work our way through it. Instead, what we're doing is we hit up against the fear and then we want to back off and select another issue. And we can't progress that way. We're just going to bounce around. There used to be these old electronic equipment that was in the 50s. It was called a selector and it had 50 prongs. And that's what we're like with our life. We've got these 50 prongs of problems, you know, coming out. And we spend a little bit of time on each one because too long a time on each one is unbearable. So we just go think, you know, around, like, not spending any amount of time that would be significant enough for us actually to merge into our fear and feel our fear completely.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Michael's laughing at me.
It is a pleasure to be in your company.
Who would you like to choose? One more person, wasn't it?
Here.
So that's... Yep, there's only one person with a hand up there, so...
Thank you, both of you. Hearing you speak of being able to step into our fears in a short time is exciting but also scary.
Indeed.
And I had pictured a little bit like Laura, you know, this time thing and this willingness. To me, it meant, you know, months of consistent praying to generate a willingness. I can't quite grasp, and I know it's not an intellectual thing. Would you like to expand some more?
It is that many of you pray to grow the desire, pray to grow the willingness, but at the same time you defend the fear and block the truth that the fear is not real, that it is merely an emotion. And so you pray for the desire to confront this fear that you feel is the reality, and that is extremely difficult.
So you're there on the bended knee, praying to God, going, please bring me a circumstance or situation that's going to help me deal with my fear. And the very next moment, God brings you one, and what do you do with it?
No! I'm not ready.
I need more desire.
I need more desire. Pray again for desire. God wishes to help you confront the truth that your fear need not govern your life, that your fear is not the reality, that what you fear is not the truth. And many of you pray for a willingness to confront fear while staunchly maintaining that your fears will be true and that it will be a disaster to have your fears realized. For many of you, you will wait until your fears are realized to deal with the fear. And this is not necessary. If I can explain a little more what I mean. A person who is afraid of being destitute. For this person, they may recognize they have this fear and pray for the willingness to confront the idea that I don't feel I can look after myself and I don't feel I can create abundance in my life and I can't pay my bills this week. That is God bringing them the opportunity to confront this fear. But they staunchly maintain that no, my belief that my soul is not abundant is true. It doesn't matter if I feel this fear, it won't pay the bills. I know that if I just connect with my desires, I'll be more creative and abundant, but I should go to work. And we defend all of the false beliefs. You defend all of the false beliefs. And then you sit down to pray to deal with the issue of abundance again. Grow the desire to deal with the issue of abundance. The following month, you can't make the car repayment. And again, you defend the false beliefs over and over to yourself and say, I know all of this divine truth, but in this situation, it's not going to work and I can't change. And so then you sit down and pray some more about the issue of abundance. Eventually, God must realize your fears. God must bring you more and more laws of attraction that will eventually bring you to come face to face with what you fear, which is that I am destitute. And many of you, if any of you, have stepped through this experience in a feeling way, you will find that what you feared around the situation of being destitute was not as bad as you perceived it to be. And this is the thing that many of you wish to deny and neglect. You see, fear creates a mountain on a mountain on a mountain of desperation and dread. When in fact, if we are willing the first week that we can't pay the bills to experience the fear and trust and have faith in God's laws of love that govern our life, we would find that even that experience that previously would have been dreadful and full of fear, if we step through that in humility and trusting in God's laws, it is not as bad as we think, and we create the abundance immediately. However, when that opportunity is not embraced, another cliff face is added to the mountain of dread and desperation. We feel that it was so terrible and it can't happen again, and we're shrinking in our fear and we're creating a mountain and a monster out of this fear.
And the next event obviously is going to be more monstrous as a result.
We will perceive it to be more monstrous because the fear has gone from this big to this big. When in fact, when the fear is confronted in humility, we find that, oh goodness, much of this was my own creation, and here is the emotion that I just needed to feel.
So the question comes, David, is when are all of us going to deal with our emotions of lack? Now, for many of you, it's only going to be, unfortunately, when you have nothing. And it looks like you're going to be taken to court and being put into receivership. Then you might deal with it. And for many people on the planet, they don't even deal with it then. Right? Now, if we take this analogy to the extreme, when are you going to deal with your fear of death? If you do the same as what you're doing with all the other fears, do you know when you're going to deal with your fear of death?
When you die.
That's the only time you're going to do it. Now, all of us have the opportunity of dealing with our fears way before that time, before the time when exactly what we fear is created. God is loving to us and brings us events through our soul attractions, brings us events that allow us to actually address some of these fears before the fears create what we actually fear. But unfortunately for most of us, we just keep denying that one, denying that one, denying that one, denying that one. The events get bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually the exact thing we fear happens. And you know what happens then? You actually realise it wasn't as bad as it all seemed. The very time you die, you will realise that you had nothing to fear.
And what a waste. And what a waste that so many live their lives governed by the fear of death. And when it eventually happens, they realise, oh,
I just went to sleep for a moment.
And I was received in arms of love.
Yeah. And then they realise, that's okay for that particular emotion, my fear of death. But then they don't apply that to all of the other fears that they have. So there are still many people in the spirit world who are yet to deal with a lot of their fears because they haven't learned anything about their fear of death. They fear death so much that eventually they died, but then they realise there was nothing to fear, but then they don't actually apply that same rule across the board of all the other fears. Eventually, if you do not deal with your fear on a certain issue, you will eventually finish up creating exactly what you fear, eventually. But God is loving with you. God doesn't make that happen instantly. That's a long way down the track generally. Right? We have a lot of opportunities to deal with this fear before that time comes. Generally, that's the case.
And this is the irony that I wish to point out, for it is a very worthwhile question, David, that many of you pray for the willingness to deal with an issue, and when God gives you the opportunity, you dismiss it or ignore it and do not even recognise it as an answer to your prayers. For many of you still have the false perception that when God answers one's prayers, it is pleasant and harmonious and as exactly when you feel it should happen. It will be uncomfortable, this growth towards God, while you still maintain errors within your soul.
The errors are painful coming out, and we've got to get used to the pain of the error coming out. We do have to actually allow ourselves to feel the pain of the error coming out. So that was the last of the questions you would like to answer, Michael. Thank you so much for spending time. Do you have more you would like to say just before you go?
Simply thank you to you all for the opportunity to speak of these beautiful truths of God. As I said before we started to speak in earnest, it is often my pleasure and the pleasure of others of my celestial brothers and sisters to visit your gatherings and to observe your desires to open up and communicate with the spirit world, but also to gain more truth and grow towards God. The reason I wish to be quite firm and hopefully confront some of your false beliefs here this evening is that we see much greater potential if each of you is able to confront these errors relating to fear and denial that are within you. There is great potential for myself and others of my celestial brothers and sisters to come and guide you in a much more open, transparent and clear way. But at present, our communication, our contact is largely blocked by your desires to remain in states of denial, to defend your fear, and almost prefer the bedfellows of old, the spirits who have surrounded you and assisted you in your addictive relationships and addictive exchange of emotions with them. The more you are able to confront the error within you, to confront your fears, and to recognize where you exist in a state of denial or defense of a falsehood within your soul, the more readily you will be able to not only connect to us, but to connect with God. And this is perhaps the parting message that I would like to leave you with, simply to open yourselves more to this process of stepping into fear, to uncover denial in your life, and hopefully we will be able to speak again more quickly and more clearly.
Michael, I'd like to thank you coming, and also Mary for channeling you as well. It's been really good.
It's a pleasure.
Do any of you have any questions about that interaction at all? Pete?
So this is why we don't feel our soul.
Because
we live in our fear, and that prevents us from getting our connection to our soul and our pure desires.
Yeah. Fear is the greatest problem on the planet, without a doubt. And for that reason, many of us are struggling with it, because it's such a huge problem. Many of us continue to struggle with it. That you're not one of the things that many of you do not understand yet, and that is that your fears are not going to disappear completely in one moment. That is an impossibility for that to occur. However, your value of your fear can disappear completely in one moment. What I mean by your value is many of you are placing the highest possible value on your fear and not on love. And as a result of placing your highest possible value on fear, you are actually finish up treating everything else as less worth than your fear. And when you do that, you can only continue to attract events that will challenge this fear in the long run. Now, if you can make this switch, this emotional switch, into actually valuing your fear less than love and less than truth, and it has to be an emotional condition, it can't be a physical or an intellectual choice, it has to be something that happens emotionally inside of you. If you can make this emotional transition into no longer valuing your fear as much, it means that no matter what you're afraid of, you're still going to stay loyal to truth. You're still going to stay loyal to love. Even if you're terrified, you're still going to stay loyal to truth, and you're still going to stay loyal to love. And once you make that transition in your spiritual progress, you from that moment on will find that huge changes in your life are rapidly attainable. when you make that transition. For many of you, the reason why huge changes have not been rapidly attainable at this point is because you still value your fear above all else. Many of you value your fear above your wife or your husband or your partner. Many of you value your fear above the rest of your life. Many of you value your fear more than you value your own children. Many, and in fact, you impose your fear upon your children. Many of you still do that. And this valuation of your fear, which is actually the error, can be undone within a moment by making a soul-based transition through the fear and realizing the fear is just an emotion. It's not something that you need to honor. Many of you put far too much honor on your fear. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You honor it so much that it dictates your life to you. And so because of this honour that you have of your fear, you then do not act to confront your fear. And so that's why fear is such a big issue, like, for most people on the planet. So if you look at even events over the last few days for yourselves, and we've been talking to the Lytton Hitchens about a number of different events in their life, you can see how fear still dictates much of the actions that are taken. And the truth and love is not put in an honourable position. Truth and love is put in a sort of almost like dishonourable position, you know. And the fear is put in the honourable position. Mm-hmm. And while we honour fear more than we honour love, we will undoubtedly do what fear dictates before we do what love dictates. And that's why many of us still don't progress, because it's only when we do what love dictates and no longer embrace doing what fear dictates that we make this transition into allowing the fear to be present, but still acting in harmony with love.
And that's keeping us further and further away from our soul and our
Many of you are shut down with your desires because you are still embracing your fear more than you embrace love. Many of you don't even know what you desire because of that one issue. And that's what fear does. Fear contracts the soul so much. There are souls in the spirit world that are so contracted by fear, they can no longer maintain a physical body. So their spirit body flies apart on them all the time. They can't actually keep the form of their physical body together. They are in so much fear. Does that make sense? And for many of you, that is what is happening to your own health. Fear is actually causing your own body to disintegrate before your very eyes, for many of us. Like, we see extra wrinkles coming very rapidly, and we see all these things happening very rapidly. And all of that is caused by how we place fear in the dominant position in our lives. That becomes the important thing. And we like, love and truth is in the dishonourable position in our lives. It doesn't take any, it has no priority, because fear dictates everything. Linda, thanks. You got a mic there?
Is that on? Yeah. So how do we make the transition then from fear being dominant to love and truth being dominant? I mean, I get it intellectually, but
yep.
At the soul level.
Well, there's two ways. There's only two ways. One way is to wait till the events occur that you're afraid of. That's one way. So let's say you're afraid of your child dying. Right? So the only time you're going to deal with that fear in this first method is by waiting until your child actually dies. And then you might deal with it. Now, the alternative way is you turn on the telly and right in front of your eyes you see a couple of children dying on the news. And you could then apply it to your own situation and feel your way through the fear that you currently have and put yourself in that situation. You could do that too. And then choose to feel the fear that you have about your own child dying from that situation. That's the alternative. Does that make sense? Your law of attraction has brought you an event that is a smaller event to address this emotion, and you have the choice at that moment to fully embrace that situation.
So if we recognise that we have a fear, doing things like watching movies that will highlight that fear, that will trigger us to feel the fear, is very helpful.
It can be helpful, but only helpful if you're going to embrace the process. Mm. So, or you can sit there watching the movie, rigid, not breathing, and going out at the end of it, wow, that was pretty hard to watch, I think I'll avoid that this time, and you won't have dealt with anything. So again, it just depends on your attitude, your will. What is your will? That's what it depends upon.
Yeah. Something that my guides have helped, they were helping me with just today actually, is that with a lot of fear, we project it onto the future, and they were saying to me, it already exists within you, these emotions are already within you, and it seems to be that it's very often with fear that we say, what if it happens, it's going to happen in the future. Most of our fears say it will happen and it'll be disastrous when it happens in the future. And they were helping me to see that the reason this fear is in me is because there is already something within me that I can deal with at any moment. In fact, it's getting triggered daily in any number of ways if I was just sensitive to it. And so that helps me a lot to not project it onto the future and bring it back to, yeah, what's already getting triggered for me daily, like I find with my fears, it's pretty constant.
So we need to feel it bodily to really breathe into it and allow ourselves to experience it. And then will it always take us into a deeper grief, or is it enough just to feel the fear?
It's always going to take you somewhere, Linda. It's very rare that a fear doesn't have tentacles into some other emotion, and particularly emotions relating to grief, lack, or in fact, most of our fears relate at some point to a lack of love and a feeling that we're not going to be loved or wanted or cared for or rejected and so forth. But the trouble with most of us is we're trying to intellectualise that process before we begin the feeling. And so what I'm suggesting, and what Michael suggested in that discussion with you, was to stop thinking about it so much. And when you see a child being harmed on the telly right in front of you, feel your feelings about it right there and then. Not put it off or turn off the telly or try to go do something else or go and cook some fuel or go and get some potato chips because it helps you avoid the emotion. You know, like, you can choose to embrace the lower event rather than eventually attracting the actual event that will cause you to deal with the emotion.
And something my guide said also on that point to me just this morning was about, I'm worrying about how it's going to look and how long it's going to go for and what's going to happen and all of that. And all of that is just a desire to control the experience of fear. And it's when I really want fear, that won't happen. So that question won't even happen. It'll be that decision, I'm just going to feel this now. Yeah.
Many of you want to know what it looks like before you begin. Why?
Fear.
Because you actually, that's another one of your fears. Because you're afraid of what it's going to look like.
So if we're experiencing it bodily, but we're not getting into the deeper grief, it's because we've put up a block then to go into, and we've got to the point where we say, oh no, I can't do this, and so we switch off.
Yeah, most of the time what happens is it's like diving into a pool of water that's cold. Some of you might be hot when you start, and the pool looks nice and inviting. So you think, yeah, this truth sounds really good. I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to jump. You jump in and that cold freezing water just hits you in a moment. And then what do you want to do? Jump straight out again. And that's what we do with most of our fear. Instead of just staying in it and actually feeling it, what we'd want to do is get back out of it again. And it's unfortunately what happens, and Michael alluded to this as well, when you jump back out again, you've now just built the fear higher. So the next time you go to jump in the water, you look at the water and say, no, it looks cold. And it might be nice and warm this time, but you think it looks cold because the last time you jumped, it was cold. And so you even apply that particular event to the next one. And before you know it, the fear has become even stronger again. It has more power in your life rather than less. The beauty of embracing the fear in the situation that you're in right in this moment, and particularly with regard to emotional issues, because let's face it, in our day-to-day life, we have, like, usually most of us 10 to 20 emotional issues in the course of a day that we're afraid of dealing with, right? And if we embraced every one of them, like jumping in the pool every time, we get so used to it that after a while we go, yeah, it's just another fear I've got to do. Yeah, have a jump in. We're right. Well, that was pretty shocking. And, you know, we go through the experience, we come out, and, well, that's gone now. And it will be like fear becomes like another emotion, any other emotion. And I know for many women, fear is, you know, is a very dominant emotion in their life. For men, most men think fear isn't a dominant emotion in their life. But most men have terrible emotional fears, that they have no willingness to face whatsoever. And yet they continue to allow those fears to dominate them too. So many men will go, yeah, I'm not afraid of this and I'm not afraid of that. Oh, you're afraid of that? What are you afraid of that for? You know, like, and the reality is they're terrified, right? And they don't even want to acknowledge it. And that's what Michael was talking about with the aspect of denial. We are so much wanting to avoid the feeling that we'll even tell ourselves the feeling does not exist, even though the law of attraction is bringing us the feeling every single day. And we'll still tell ourselves that it doesn't exist. And that's total denial. And we need to get out of that if we want to progress.
And that's where faith really comes in, isn't it? That's where faith's so important.
Faith, trust in God. Trust that God's laws are beautiful. Every one of them is there to lovingly correct us and bring us closer to God. If we trust that, we will embrace every situation and we will actually not allow fear to dominate the situation. So, you know, when your mum, let's say for half of you, your mum's still alive, right? Your mum rings up and she starts criticising you as she always does every time she phones. And what do you normally do? Sit there and go, yeah, mum. Yeah, mum. Oh, I don't think it's like that, mum. And she says, yes, it is. Okay, mum. No worries, bitch. You know, like, and get on the rest of your life.
But or we go,
I'm a terrible person. I don't know why I can't handle. Or we go, wow, you know, my mum just wrote over me again. Why can't I deal with it? Because you don't want it. Because all it takes is instead of saying that, you could say, right, this is a fear. I've got fear here. I don't want to address my mother and tell her that she's just being a bitch to me most of the time. I don't want to tell her that. So, mum, actually, there's something that I've been feeling for a long, long time. And I haven't told you because I'm just petrified of you most of the time, to be frank. But the reality is, you're a real bitch to me. Right? And to be honest with you, until you can change from being a bitch to me to actually treating me in a loving manner, I really do not want to hear from you again, and I really don't want to call you again. Now, in that moment, half of you were to deal with one fear, the fear of what your mother thinks of you. And why would you ever have a fear of what your mother thinks of you? Because the reality is that she doesn't think much of you anyway, and you just don't want to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why you'd have fear of it.
Yeah.
Right? And in that moment, you now will confront that. You'll get off the phone and you go, wow, she just treats me so bad. And she just, like, she treats me like I'm worth nothing. And then you'll get into these feelings that you feel like you're worth nothing when you're with your mother. You'll get into those feelings because you've now acknowledged the truth of the situation. So one of the main things we need is truth. Truth is the way we actually address our fears. But many of us are like, you know, the truth hits us in the nose every single day. But most of us, if it was physically happening, we'd have a broken nose every day with how much truth is hitting us. Right? The truth about how your mother feels about you hits you every day. Most of us ignore it completely. The truth about how our father feels about us hits us every day, more completely. The truth about, you know, about whether I actually have a good opinion of myself hits me every day. And most of us ignore that completely too. And can you see all we're doing is skipping over that fear? We're doing that selector thing with our fears. Bing, 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 you know, jumping from one to the other. Going through all of these events in the course of a day, which if we had just embraced one of them, a second one and a third one may never happen. But you see, we don't believe that. We don't have trust in God and faith in God's laws and faith in the structure that God's put into place for our soul to grow. And in the process of not agreeing with that structure and faith and having faith in it, we go, nah, I've got to avoid my fear. I've got to avoid my fear at all cost. I'm going to barter my soul for for my fear. And you know what happens? For most of us, we do that every single day, multiple times a day, and you barter your soul all day, and then you get to the end of the day and you feel really good about yourself, don't you? Do you?
No.
After bartering your soul all day? Of course you don't feel good about yourself. How can you? You can only feel worse about yourself bartering your soul. That's the only thing you can do. So we're sitting there, and we could even feel that if we wanted to. Wow, I just bartered my soul the whole day today. Like, do I want to do that tomorrow? Well, if I really wanted to address my soul and I really wanted to be happy, I would then tomorrow go, I am not bartering my soul for nothing anymore, right? I'm going to let my fears be confronted today completely. And like, I've had days where it's bang, 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 like 20 different events the whole day. And sometimes, like, I have some people come up to talk to me frequently and they go, oh, I had this terrible event the last 2 weeks. And I listen to the event and I go, gee, if I had that event, I'd be pretty happy, actually. like what they view as a terrible event, I'm going, wow, that's a really good event. That's really good. And they're going, what do you mean it's really good? I say, well, look at the benefit it's had to your soul, and you could have embraced this and you could have embraced that, and now you could feel totally different. You could be totally different. Yeah. If we just have a mic, it's just behind her.
Just following on from your analogy about talking to your mother and telling you.
Yep.
If you take the inner voice that says to you, you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're no good, you're useless,
mm-hmm.
can you have the same conversation with it and say, you've been speaking to me like a mister, I'm not talking to you anymore until you can speak to me?
Certainly you can, but if the voice is coming from inside of you, it can only be from two sources. One is a spirit who is with you, who keeps telling you negative emotions, negative feelings and things about yourself. Now, why would you attract such a spirit? It can only be because of a parent actually treating you in that way in the past somehow. Or the actual voice is your own voice, telling yourself that you're useless and bad and no good and so forth. And how could that voice have ever entered you? Again, it could only have ever entered you by a parent having told you that for most of your life. And why would you choose to continue doing what your parent has done? Because you're afraid of confronting your parent. You're afraid of actually saying, no, this is just my parent speaking. This is exactly how my mother is towards me. If we have the mic, please.
It's not my experience.
I'm sorry, I can't agree. Because you see,
that I didn't. My mother didn't say those things to me.
No. See, what you're interpreting as me saying the word say is very different to what I mean. When I say a person said something to you, it's how they treated you all of your life that determines how you feel about yourself. So if you have voices inside of you going, you're bad, you're no good, and you're accepting these things, then something in your life had to have occurred for you to accept these things about yourself. And they can only have come from your environment. They could have only have come from your childhood. And this is where many of you still do not want to face the truth, is how mum and dad actually feel about you. Not what they said, but how they feel about you, which you felt from the moment you were conceived. Right? Now, many of you, from the moment you were conceived, you were rejected. You were. Many of you were rejected from the moment you were conceived. Many of your mothers, the moment they knew that you were they were pregnant with you, had this terrible feeling of horror at being pregnant with you. Some of them were in relationships. Many of them were in relationships they didn't want to be in already before they began. Or they got pregnant from a male they didn't want to have any interaction with. Or they had huge amounts of grief associated with that particular person or that relationship. And as a result of that, projected all of these things into you. Now, all of these things are non-verbal methods of communication to a person inside the womb who is also unable to receive verbal communication, but is totally open to all non-verbal communication. And as a result, you're not being sensitive to the true feelings your parents actually have about you. And you know what happens? When you start confronting those true feelings that they actually have about you, you will see those true feelings in real life, guaranteed. When you start talking to Mum and saying to her, Mum, actually, this is a feeling I've had all my life, and I've actually realised that it's come from you, that you don't feel that I'm worth anything. And Mum goes, no, I don't. Yes, you do. That's how you feel. That's how I feel you feel. That's how I felt you felt all. No, I don't. How dare you say that to me? How dare you say that to me? Like, and you'll feel the result of you confronting. If a person actually feels love towards you, they will never be angry with you for confronting with something that's error. But the reality is the majority of people will get very, very angry when you confront the truth with them. And many of you are afraid of confronting the truth with your own families. And to be honest, many of you will pass in coming earth events as a result of being afraid to confront the truth of your own families. You will pass. You'll be in the wrong place at the wrong time because of the feelings that you currently have. Does that make sense? Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying that you all have that those same people don't have the choice to not pass. But what I'm saying is there's this influence of family and this denial of the emotions that your family has towards you that will cause you to act in certain ways and do certain things that eventually causes your own passing as a result of different laws of attraction occurring. And yet many of you want to stay in complete denial that your family actually has these feelings towards you, even though you have these feelings about yourself that had to have come from somewhere. They have to have come from somewhere. And many of you are going, no, it didn't come from Mum or Dad. And then you ask me where it comes from, and I say it comes from your Mum and Dad. No. It doesn't come from my Mum and Dad. I want another answer. And so what do many of you keep doing with me? You keep asking me the same question. And you know why you do that? Because you want a different answer. You want a different answer, so you ask the same question because the last time I answered that question, you didn't like the answer. And so what you do is you ask the question again, a different way, whatever, and I give you the same answer. You ask a different way again, and I give you the same answer. I don't want that answer because you don't believe that answer. Now, it's okay. You're allowed to believe what you want to believe, but unfortunately, what I'm telling you is the truth. What I'm telling you is that for almost the whole majority of the people sitting here, for almost all of us, our causal emotional feelings about ourselves came from how our parents feel about us. That's the reality. Yeah. That we don't want to face. Most of us don't want to face. And most of us don't want to have the interaction with our parents about it either. Right. So, Russ, you had a question?
Yeah, the question is...
If you have
the mic. The question is, if we realise this about our parents, should we go and talk to them about it and confront them about it?
Well, the most powerful thing you can do is feel. But many of you won't feel without talking to your parents. But let's look at an average situation. If you truly embrace your desire to deal with your causal emotional experience, your law of attraction will bring you the events. Whether it's with your parent actually ringing you or phoning you or coming to talk to you, or another woman or man who is similar to your parent and has a similar emotion towards you, it will bring you these events, and as long as you embrace that event, you don't have to deal with more traumatic ones. But if you don't embrace those events, which most of us don't, let's face it, most of us skip over them, avoid them, and, you know, work around them in some way, then another event will come and another event will come, and the events will get, as they have a tendency of doing, more powerful because of our fear building on each one, and they'll become more powerful until we actually do create the event that we're actually afraid of. So we have the choice to deal with them on any single day. Really, every single day we have a choice. There's so many events that happen. Like I've had to barely interact with my mother in order to deal with my emotions with my mother. Right? Because I've had woman after woman after woman after woman acting like my mother. Which is fantastic. Because it helps me work through the emotions that I've had with my mother. And the irony is, I work through those emotions I have with my mother starts changing automatically just because of the difference in the soul of my own soul, right? She starts being more sensitive. Now, she hasn't dealt with the causal reasons of why she treated me the way she treated me, but she can't treat me the way anymore because she can't even feel that she can, ironically. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
So the reality is your law of attraction every single day is bringing you these interactions. So those of you who are in a partnership with another person, your law of attraction is bringing you event after event after event after event. During the course of the day, there's literally hundreds of events that are actually bringing you law of attraction events relating to your causal emotional injuries with your mother and father. They're all there. And you skip over this one, skip over that, ignore that one. To be frank, you know where we are with most of them? In total denial. Total denial. Not even clocking it. Not even going, oh wow, that's something I need to see. We don't even do that. We just think, that's normal. That's normal. We just skip over it because it's normal. Another one's normal. Another normal event. Another normal event. Oh, my wife's being angry with me again. Another normal event. You know, like, we don't see it as a law of attraction event based on something that's inside of our soul that we need to address. Yeah. So you can interact with your mum and dad, but you don't need to because your day is going to bring you heaps of mums and dads through the course of your day, you know? And you can address them with those people as those events occur.
Especially when you have the sincere desire, hey?
Especially when you set your intention, yeah. Once you set your intention, your desire comes into play. Not only your fear, but you've got your desire acting in the same direction as your fear, and that I want to deal with this. And all of a sudden you're like, I think I've given the example just recently of how in 1 week I had 50 angry women telling me off about something I was providing for free. Like, I provided a workshop for free and 50 angry women told me I wasn't doing it the right way, that they weren't getting satisfied because of the time and the event and the day, and it was too long, it was too short, it was too this, it was too that. And 50, in 1 week. So what I did was my desire, I set up a workshop. And there were 50 people come or 60 people came, so we had to set up like 5 workshops, and in that process I had to work through who was going where, and I do all of that, and it was all for free, of course. And as a result of all of that, I get 50 women attacking me. Now I could have gone, stuffle you 50 women, you're
you've
not
you've
got
coming. A problem.
You know what I mean? But instead of seeing it as, wow, my soul's pretty powerful creator this week on the women issue. And isn't it so good? I've got now the opportunity to feel the injustice of it, the unfairness of it. I've got now the opportunity to address these 50 women in truth. Some of them responded really well. Others responded terribly. They never wanted to see me again. And that was wonderful too. Well, it is wonderful to not have a person who's angry with you ever wanting to talk to you again. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great thing. So I don't see that as a bad thing. So myself embracing the truth of that week allowed me to deal with huge amounts of emotions with my
mother.
And make me realise, wow, yeah, my mum does have this towards me. Unspoken many times, but does have this feeling. Unspoken. You see, the problem for many of us is we're not realising one basic truth, and that is it's your soul that receives the damage, not your ear. It's not the words that went in here that damaged you, although they sometimes added to the damage. It was the feeling that entered you that damaged you. Can you see? It's the feeling inside of them that your little soul was totally open to receiving because it had no way of blocking it. And it's that feeling that was in them that entered you in that moment. And that feeling could enter you without them speaking a single word. And many of you are going, yeah, but my mum never said that to me. I totally agree. But she said it in her soul and in her mind thousands of times to you. Many of you, thousands of times you've had terrible things said to you by your parents without a word being spoken.
Every time a parent honours fear, over love and truth, there is a rejection of the child that happens anyway. Yeah. So that's everyone on the planet who's a parent. Yeah.
Even if you're still parents yourselves, every time you honour your fear over love in your day-to-day interactions, you automatically, in that moment, your child is feeling unloved and rejected. Automatically. He can't feel anything else because love is gone. Love's disappeared in that moment. And fear is the only thing that prevails in that moment. And the child learns, I'm worth nothing in comparison to my mother's fear or my father's fear. My mother would not hesitate to even see me die rather than to feel their fear. That's the reality for many people on the planet, for most, in fact, on the planet. The reality is we'd rather see our child die than we would deal with their own fear. Now, many of you go, no, I wouldn't do that. But how many of our children die from some kind of disease? From how many of our children die from abortion? How many children die from miscarriage? Like, heaps of them. Well, they must die for some reason. And it's got something to do with our fear. It's got something to do with it every single time. So if we can understand how prevailing fear is in our life and start to confront it on a more active level and start seeing it no longer as God, and I'll sometimes say to Mary, which she doesn't like very much at times, is, babe, who's your God again? Because it feels to me like fear is your God today.
Yeah.
You know? And we need to come to understand, no, we have this beautiful, loving creator that is our God, and fear is a construct of our avoidance of our relationship with God. And we need to come to see it for what it truly is. Yeah.
I'm just wondering about the impact on an older sibling. I feel that my law of attraction keeps bringing my brother into my life.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just wondering if a child is going through like the conception womb, like child, and has so much of the sibling's emotions, is there a lot of fears and grief that also has to be felt in that relationship if there was an older brother that could have taken the role of a parent? Or
obviously, if we have older siblings and they're quite a lot older than ourselves, so let's say they were 10 years or 7 or 8 years plus older than ourselves, it's highly likely that many of their unhealed emotions also enter us when we're young, under 7 years of age. And also for many of us, our older sibling has become like our parent. And we actually project many feelings towards our older siblings that are that old, much older than us, as if they abandoned us, as if they should have treated us differently because our parent didn't treat us well, but they did for a certain time and then they left home or something like that and we felt abandoned. So there often are emotions associated with our older siblings, particularly if our older siblings are 7 plus years older than ourselves. You often have emotions to do. But if you think about it too, the emotions of our older siblings are the result of our parents' projections at those children, at our older siblings. So in the end, they all can be traced back to the environment in which they grew up in as well. So our law of attraction will bring us certainly those events at different times where we see our older siblings acting in the same way as our parents act towards us, or acting like trying to act in totally the opposite way towards us, as a result of the different desires and emotions that we're trying to avoid or address. The key is to not go too intellectual about it again and just feel what's happening in the event. Yeah.
So, Laura, would you say in your case is a competition feeling?
Huge competition thing.
So yeah. That had to be set up.
That has to be set up by your parents.
By your parents, yeah. Yeah.
So the playoff was already in. Like a lack of love existed in him to feel that I was loved more. It was already, like I'm just...
And your parents would have treated you better than they treated him. Like, so therefore he would feel less love. And this happens for many older siblings. They feel less love than their younger siblings because most parents actually had more fear when they gave birth to their first child.
Oh, she said she was huge about the fear when he was born and he was crying all the time, and then apparently I was an angel because I...
Of course, because their parents had less fear and they were more accepting of women.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the parents change over a course of time, and that, of course, affects what emotions they project at different siblings at different times. But if siblings have emotions of competition towards each other, that can only have been set up by their environment. If they were being loved equally and there was no fear involved, the children would have no feelings of competition towards each other at all. Yeah. Any other questions, or you want to go home? Sat?
Just to add to what you're saying, I after we came and saw you in Kingaroy, you said to me that I had a lot of issues to address with angry men and women towards me.
Mm-hmm.
So I left quite pumped to deal with those emotions, not knowing that when I did confront the fear, I got projected a lot of anger and stuff at me that put me in a lot of a really big state of fear and thought I was going to get attacked in that moment. But I'd have to also say that it wasn't hard to do. Like, I just had to be honest.
Yes.
And then I didn't have to also acknowledge that when you do something like that, things change. Like, I've noticed changes in my life quite big that you forget that they've happened. Like, if you look at a span of a year or 6 months, it's actually a lot of changes happened, but you don't notice those things. So
yeah, you're a very different person than when I first met you. We met, what, two years ago?
And I
feel you're a very different person. And one of the main reasons why is the times... You remember the time we came down to Melbourne where you had those series of events with the media, with your mum and dad?
And that was the first attack that happened,
They caused you to address a lot of your fears.
Yeah.
And as a result, you stepped into a lot more of your desire. Yeah.
And all I'm saying that is that, like, I don't feel I'm any different to anybody. I just feel that, like, it is all about the parents. Like, there was a time where I actually felt like my dad was going to kill me.
Yeah.
And I felt no love at all for my dad.
Yeah.
And I didn't speak to him because of that. And then eventually we ended up talking and it changed. Everything was different. Like, before I came to live up here, we haven't talked about truth and love, and they've had to feel their emotions and all this kind of stuff. And Laura and I sit next to each other and, are we seriously talking about these things to our parents?
When 12 months earlier he wanted to
Not
kill
even
you.
Not even 12 months, 3 months earlier I was scared that my dad was going to kick the car window in or something. So, like, the reason why I say that is because I was trying to talk to Michael before about, you know, the fear dominating, and then, like, I know I've got massive fears, a lot of fears that dominate my life still, but I also feel that once you start with one or two or three or four and keep going, that it gets easier. Like,
it does. And you have made some of this transition that we're talking about, Sab, the transition into not allowing your fear to stop you from acting, not allowing your fear to dominate your decision making. Most people don't do that yet. They're still allowing fear to dominate their actions and decisions, rather than thinking, oh, no, it's just fear and I do need to go through it. I do need to actually work my way through my fears. And the only way I'm going to do that is by acting and deciding to do things in harmony with truth and love, and my fears will automatically be looked after through that process if I embrace them. Yeah.
So that's why I sort of mentioned it, because...
Can I point out, though, Fab, that you are different?
Yeah, I feel that
from
I am.
From other people...
Yeah, like the majority of people on the planet don't do that.
Yeah, like, and that was hard for me to acknowledge it to start with.
You look at what's happened in the last year for you. The majority of people in this room couldn't have coped at this point in time with what happened to you in the last year because they haven't had the same desire as you had to deal with your fear. Like, Fab was on public television for 1.3 million viewers being attacked by his ex-partner. But how many of you have had that happen to you?
Pretty powerful soul, I guess.
It's pretty tough sell, isn't it, to have it happen to you? And that's what happened to Fab in this last year. In the last year, Fab's also had his parents, well, his father saying that he wants to kill him and never to see him again and all those kind of... Yeah, three times. His mother agreeing with his father on these issues. He's had all of these different things happening. And now Mum and Dad are talking to him about truth and love.
And my ex-wife's talking to me civil.
And Fab, your brother too, has been addressing some of these issues with Mum and Dad as well as a result of your courage too. And so, you know, he's had to go through very similar emotions as well. Now, that to me is a person who's embraced what's happened in that moment and tried to, instead of allowing fear to dominate, and there are many times when you had a discussion with me, you were terrified.
Oh, I couldn't think, yeah.
And just to remind you that, no, go through this, mate, and you'll get through the other side of it. And that's what many of us are not even doing. And we're not even embracing the process enough to attract these events yet because we don't want to have them yet. And it's our desire that's going to help us have a lot of these kind of events. Right? Many of you are also very afraid of what happens to me. Every time I get on the telly and I'm misrepresented, you go into fear. Because you're worried about how, oh, my family, gee, how are they going to see this, you know? Even though it's not true, you go, how are they going to see this? This is going to, you know what I mean? Like, you're worried. And that's your fear being addressed. In that moment, you could embrace that or live in it, one of the two. And you know, why are you so afraid about what happens to me? It's because you're actually afraid about what might happen to yourself if something happens to me. Do you see? Like, there's all these kind of linkages that are surrounding our fears too. So my suggestion, as Michael's was, is to allow yourself to make this transition into no longer having your fear dominate your choices and decisions. Make love the dominating factor every single time. Now, I suggest to you, if you're angry a lot, you are not having love dominate your actions every single time. You are having your fear dominate your actions every single time, or your avoidance of it.
You're defending your fear, really.
You're defending your fear. Yeah. You're denying your fear in that place. So we need to be really honest with ourselves. And when I say angry, many of you are angry without even saying a word. And that's not being honest with yourself either, is it? Like, if you go, yeah, I was actually angry there. Yeah, I must have been in denial of a fear if I was angry. That would be much better than going, no, I wasn't angry. How dare you say I was angry? You know, like, to somebody... It's far better to stay in this connected state where you do acknowledge what's going on and you're at least not in denial then. You see, and getting back to this earth change discussion that Michael raised, many of us are still in denial of events that are going to occur because we don't want to face the emotions that we're afraid of facing if the events occur. So you know what we do instead? We go, nah, those events are not going to occur. I'm not very afraid of earth changes at all because those things are not going to occur, you know. That's just like AJ raving on, you know how he does. He's been wrong so often. We say all these things to ourselves, whereas in your soul, many of you, before you met me, you knew earth changes were going to occur. Many of you were having dreams of them occurring. and I didn't control those. I couldn't before I met you. So none of those things are related to what I've said. They're related to your own personal experiences. And yet we go, nah, I'm not that afraid. I'm not that afraid of what's going to happen. And while we're saying all these things to ourselves, we're not realising that we're actually in total denial. And it's not necessarily the earth changes that we're afraid of, as Michael pointed out to you. It's actually the linkages to other things. So for many of us, my family's going to think I'm a nutcase. So that's what you're really afraid of. Or my friends are going to think I'm a basket case listening to this Jesus fellow. So that's what I'm afraid of. Or my husband's going to leave me because he's telling me that I can't do what I'm doing, or he's going to leave me. And that's what I'm afraid of. Or, you know, my children are going to get attacked at school for saying what they're saying. And that's what I'm afraid of. Do you see how a lot of times it's not the specific thing that we think we're afraid of that is actually the fear or the source of it, but rather all these linkages to childhood issues that we have not yet addressed or dealt with. Yeah. So when many of you ask me questions about earth changes in a lot of fear, and even say to me, and I see many of you say comments on the net like, you know, why isn't AJ talking more about it? It's very irresponsible of him not to be channeling. If he's channeling information about it, why isn't he giving us that information? And all of that kind of stuff gets said, right? And yet, I'm just going, yeah, all of that indicates to me is that you have a lot of fears about the subject and you don't even want to know why you're afraid. You just want me to make the fear go away. Now, if I'm loving to you, what will I do? Do I want you to make your fear go away by avoiding it? Am I loving you if I do that? I'm not. The only way I can love you is by helping you make a permanent change on the issue of your fear. That's the only way I can love you. So if the permanent change on the issue of your fear is that I give you no information whatsoever about earth changes, that will be more loving of me, earth changes and where it's going to happen, all these other things. But in that process, the majority of you don't deal with all the fears. And you know what? Some of you will then survive earth changes only to have a terribly traumatic life afterwards because of all of what your fear will attract. And what I would love to see is that you have a beautifully joyful life afterwards and deal with your fears now. That's what I would love to see. Do you see the difference? Yeah. And, you know, we were discussing this issue quite a lot, myself and Mary, this week because, and I was saying, you know how I was saying earlier that, you know, for many of us, we'll have to die before we're not afraid of death? Well, to be frank with you, I had to get almost to that point before I actually dealt with my fears, before I stopped honouring my fears. I had to get to the point myself, and this is where I'm hoping Mary's experience will be a little different for Mary.
Oh, I worry. If it's about for you, what's it mean for me?
Because what I had to do in my own circumstance is rather than feel that nobody loved me, which I did feel a lot during my life, I had to get to the point where nobody actually did love me, where literally nobody in my life would speak to me, that everyone rejected me. They'd look at me on the street and turn the other way or sneer at me. My family wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't answer the phone if I rang. And if they did answer, they'd just say, no, I can't speak with you, hang up. Right? I had to get to the stage where my children rejected me completely and I was living alone and I had no work at all and I'd be in my house 24/7 just feeling nobody wanted me and just wanting to die. And then I dealt with my fear of being liked. Or I should say, my fear of not being liked and how unloved I felt. Now, my suggestion is don't let it go that far. Because trust me, in that place, it's very hard to survive. Very hard to survive. I was a whisker's breadth away from suicide before I dealt with my fear. And I'm suggesting to you that you don't need to do that. However, unfortunately for many of you, you seem to want to create that. And my suggestion is stop wanting to create that and just address the issues day by day that come up that trigger your fear.
It feels to me that this issue of truth is so crucial to that process because, like AJ was saying, we're talking about this a lot because I'm really at a place where, yeah, I can see how much fear is dominating my life, and talking about confronting that, and it seems to be a recurring message that I keep getting, that the antidote to fear is truth, the antidote to fear is truth, and I have to open my soul to truth in order to confront fear, so, yeah.
And we can do that day by day just by... God's law of attraction is a beautiful law, right? It's just an amazing law, actually. It's one of the most incredible laws of the universe in some ways, because the very thing your soul needs to grow in love is being presented to you every moment of every day. Now, that's an amazing thing. You don't have to even walk out of your own house most of the time for the event to be constructed, even if it means that you physically get injured by cutting yourself with a knife while you're cutting up the tomatoes. There's all these different events that are going on in our day that we just get a band-aid, wrap it up and keep cutting tomato without even thinking about what just happened. Why did I just cut my left hand on the third finger, which seems to be always the same finger that gets cut every single time I cut tomatoes? Why does that happen? And most of us just skip over the event, wrap ourselves up with a band-aid and continue merrily on our way without considering anything about what inside of us just created that event. And yet God created this beautiful universe with this law of attraction, which is also a beautiful law, to actually help us find the exact emotions within us that need to be healed if we want to become more loving. And if we are sensitive to that process, we don't need to intellectually go into it. All we've got to do, for most of us, we cut our hand and there's an instant feeling of pain, is there not? When you feel pain, what do most of us then try to do?
Avoid it.
We try to hold back the tears of the pain. You notice that? How many of you when you cut your finger now, cry? How many of you would have cried when you were two? I put to you that every one of you would have cried if you cut your finger when you were two, particularly if you cut it deep with a knife. Every one of you would have cried. And yet when you cut your finger deep with a knife now as an adult, you don't cry at all. And I put to you the whole reason why you don't is because you're not sensitive to the pain associated with what you just did. Does that make sense? And what we've done is we've become detuned from our creations. We hold ourselves so rigidly that we don't allow ourselves to feel. We become so detuned that even we can cut our finger halfway off and we go, you know,
I'm all right.
Just because we don't want to cry. You know what I mean? How many of you bash your head regularly on the top kitchen door? Like I went through a phase where probably every second or third day I did that. And then I got to the point where I hit it so hard that I almost knocked myself out. And I fell to the floor like just dazed and then started crying. Right? Up until that time, I'd done it every single time. I'd like big bruise in my head generally or a hole in it, you know, it would be bleeding. And yet I still wouldn't submit to the emotion. Still wouldn't submit. And most of us have taught ourselves to not surrender. I will not surrender. I will not lay down and surrender is the feeling we have, right? And we don't understand that that is us using our will to avoid the emotion that could heal us completely. And once I sat down and had a big ball about my head getting knocked, not only this time that nearly knocked me out, but for the last 3 weeks it had been happening every second or third day, usually in exactly the same spot, interestingly enough, right? And I allowed myself to actually physically go through an emotion about it. Guess what happened then? I seemed to automatically know when that door was open and I never knocked my head again. And this is what happens, you see, is we create these constant events, and we steal ourselves for our life and we, you know, not surrender. You know that song that goes, she's talking about love of all things, and then she's saying how she's not going to surrender. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
And I'm going, what?
I think she's saying she will surrender, babe.
Does she?
I will go down with this ship. I will. Doesn't she put up the? Doesn't she put up a white flag? Isn't that surrender?
Yeah, I might be thinking about it totally different. But anyway, I might be thinking about it totally different. But we do have this terrible attitude that we're not going to surrender. Most of us don't want to surrender to any emotion, to be honest. And we need to be honest. We need to go like, yeah, I feel really, like half the day today, I just sat there in depression. I'm not talking about me. For many of us, we sit there in depression going, oh, what am I going to do? I don't feel like doing anything. That's called numb. Why are we numb? Because we don't want to. We don't want to surrender. We don't want to surrender what we're afraid of. We don't want to surrender to our grief. We're so embroiled in coming up to the fear and running away. And even if, and many of us are so happy to even run away to the extent that we can go, yeah, I don't feel much desire in my life at all now. Like, what do I do today? Can you tell me what I do today? I don't really know what to do today. Oh, that's right, I'm talking to you guys. And we go like, we're not even conscious of our surroundings many times. And why do we do all of that? Because we don't want to surrender to the real emotions that are present. And if we can allow ourselves to surrender to the fear in particular, you'll find your life will just change markedly. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a long time you've been hearing us now. And please don't view this as a bit of a telling off. What I'm trying to do is encourage you to get into this fear rather than dancing with it all the time. Dancing with fear is exhausting. That's why many of you feel exhausted. Because dancing with fear is exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you don't dance with fear anymore, your life becomes a lot more enjoyable. Yeah.
And you get more of a sense of personal self-esteem, I feel like. Every time I confront the fear, I feel more capable. When I live in fear, I feel worse and worse about myself. Yeah.
Yeah, you get to the end of the day and you go, wow, I dealt with some stuff today. And you feel a sense of pride, like you value yourself for doing so, yeah. We love you very much.
It's nice to
and,
see you all.
It's probably the last time we're going to see you for a few months, actually. It'll probably be sometime in March that we see you again.